City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits, Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
After complaints from a secular group, an Illinois U.S. Air Force base removed a commander's name from a prayer breakfast invitation. The group asserts that the commander violated the constitutional rights of the subordinates. Visit pji.org to download our free resource, Faith in the Workplace.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
This is AMEN, the Alpha Male Entertainment Network. Broadcasting from Humidor 1A in the cigar city of Tampa, Florida, USA. Welcome to the Cigar Dave Show, your weekly excursion into the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
Fire up a cigar. I cannot tell you how excited I am that today, for the first time since January 11th, I will be firing up a cigar. Pleased to report, the Surgeon General of the Alpha Army has given me the go-ahead to enjoy a fine hand-rolled premium cigar. I will savor it. I will absolutely be captivated by the aroma, by the taste. The first time after this nasty upper respiratory infection, bronchitis, all the other garbage going on. So that is, as I look at it now, about 6 weeks that I have not had a cigar. And you know what? I'm not shaking. I don't feel a need to go have a cigar. Why? Because we're not addicted to cigars, not like cigarettes. If the enemies of pleasure would only realize cigars and cigarettes are different, life would be far better. Long Ash greetings and salutations, a Long Ash snappy salute, semper delectatio. Always pleasure, long live the Alpha, make America great again, keep America great, make masculinity great again, screw the enemies of pleasure, screw the socialists, screw the taxocrats. As always, it is your five-star global general and commanding Alpha male in chief from Command Center Alpha in the Cigar City. Follow me on social media. Just go to CigarDave.com, upper right-hand corner. You can just go ahead and follow us along on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Email CigarDave at CigarDave.com. Very simple, CigarDave at CigarDave.com. For the enemies of pleasure, I may have to spell that because they're not that bright, but I know that all of our alphas certainly are bright indeed. Tons and tons of items to get to. My desk, my ample-sized desk, that actually looks like a giant airplane wing, is just jammed with material that I have to get to. So without any further delay, I shall. I have always stated that Michael Bloomberg, enemy of pleasure number one. He was the mayor slash nanny of New York, as Mike Bloomberg would say. He is the supreme enemy of those of us who enjoy cigars, who enjoy freedom, who enjoy big gulps, who enjoy salt. Bloomberg had this inner need to show everyone that he was smarter, is smarter than everyone else, that he has the divine right to tell everyone how to live their life. And by the way, Michael Bloomberg, a former cigarette smoker. But now all of a sudden he can tell everyone, nope, you can't have your cigar, and we're going to close all these cigar clubs around town, or at least try to do that. On Wednesday evening, what an absolute delight to watch Michael Bloomberg get absolutely smacked up the head, down the head. I mean, you name it. He was smacked around by Pocahontas, by the fake Indian, up and down. But I'd said this one after him. Oh, that was beautiful. I love the little bit where Barad Sadler said, Gluberg says, well, if you're not the poster child for socialism with three houses, and Barad says, and I got to get into Barad Sadler's character here. Yes, but wait a minute. I have three homes. One, in Washington, D.C., where I work. Two, in Burlington, Vermont, where I live. And excuse me, but like many thousands of other Vermonters, I have a summer cabin on Lake Champlain. Excuse me for that. Well, what Bernard didn't tell you, it's not the way he made it sound was it's like this rinky-dink cabin, right? Like maybe there's running water, maybe there isn't. There's an outhouse. Maybe there's like two rooms and a potbelly stove. It's a $600,000 cabin, and I use air quotes here. So Bernard Sanders no longer goes after millionaires. Have you noticed that? I'm Bernard Sanders. I used to go after millionaires, billionaires, zillionaires, and trillionaires. But now that I'm a millionaire, I, Bernard Sanders, don't go after millionaires. I only go after billionaires. The man of the people, Bernard Sanders, three homes. No, not all Vermonters do have three homes. But it was great to see everyone gang up on Bloomberg, and he was clueless. Talk about a guy that looked like a total wussified beta. Never once stood up for himself. The fact is, he has built a very successful media business, started with nothing. His parents, I think he said his father, I saw this quoted, never made more than, I believe, four figures. So certainly he didn't come from wealth, and I have to give the guy credit. He did build a giant media business. Does he look down on people now? You better believe it. Does he think he's superior to everyone else? You better believe it. But I cannot attack him for building a successful business. And they do treat their employees well. 21,000 of them. Never once did he mention when they were saying, well, you're a billionaire, a zillionaire. Never once did he say, I created a company from nothing. I was the first employee. I went out and sold my first client. Was, I think it was Morgan Stanley, if I'm not mistaken, Merrill Lynch, one of those, 10 terminals, and they get a huge amount of money for those bloomies, they call them, the Bloomberg terminals. They get something like $6,000 or $8,000, maybe more, per month. It is not inexpensive. But they're all around the globe. He's built a successful business, yet he just kept taking it and taking it and taking it. But isn't it interesting, when he was mayor of New York, as he likes to say, when he was mayor of New York, he had no problem going after all those items that he didn't deem to be appropriate. I'm doing my Michael Bloomberg impression. Now, he's from Boston originally. People don't realize that, but he's got a little New York in there along with the Boston. But the way he sits there, being very smug, when he was mayor of New York City, there were 32 Bloomberg bans he wanted to enact. Six regarding smoking and tobacco, six regarding transportation, five regarding food and food service, five regarding buildings, bathrooms, or black roofs, two regarding music, two regarding grass clippings and grassy areas, one regarding cell phones, one regarding guns, one on term limits. Oh, and don't get me started on the term limit thing, as I'm going to get into that, how Bloomberg is a total fraud. One ban on organic food waste from landfills, one on heating oils, one from greenhouse gas emissions. And I've got the full list here in my hot little hand. And let's face it, he went after smoking, went after cigars. I, Michael Gluberg, I'm going to take on big cigars. I'm going to take on big salt. I'm removing the salt shakers from your table. I'm going after big gulps. I mean, the fact of the matter is that a mayor would actually waste his time going after a big gulp because it's 32 ounces is ridiculous. He also had a proposed ban on baby formula as New York mayor. So, let's go through some of the bans that Michael Bloomberg enacted while mayor of New York. And it was just so delightful to watch his ass get pounded into oblivion I mean, if this were a fight, if this were a boxing match, this would have been like him having both eyes totally bloodied, bruised, and shut, his nose broken, 10 teeth just kicked out of his mouth, blood had streamed everywhere, hunched over. You couldn't get a good enough cut man to fix all the problems because he was bleeding so badly last night. And he just sat there and took it. And I kept watching it in thorough pleasure, just totally enjoying him getting his ass kicked. Talk about a guy that wasn't prepared. That was Bloomberg. So here are some of the – here's the 32. He banned smoking in commercial establishments such as bars and restaurants in 2003. Banned smoking in public places 2011. Cigarette sales to those under 21 in 2013. And I believe that – I think that affected cigars as well. But that was before there was any federal law or state laws. He just said, as New York mayor, I'm going to enact it because I'm Michael Bloomberg. Sales of flavored tobacco products in 2019. Smoking of e-cigarettes in public places, 2013. Cigarette in-store displays, 2013. Cars in Times Square, 2009. Cars from driving in newly created bike lanes, that was from 2007 to 2013. Cars causing congestion below 60th Street in Manhattan, 2007. Speeding on residential slow zones, 2013. Illegal guns, 2006 to 2013. Sodium levels in processed foods, that was 2010. Trans fat in restaurants, 2006. And by the way, I don't have a problem with the trans fat. Everybody knows trans fats have been a problem, and many restaurants were already beginning to get rid of them. Loud headphones in 2013. Styrofoam packaging in single-service food items in 2013. I'm Michael Bloomberg. If you go to pick up Chinese food at takeout, you will not be allowed to enjoy your food in a styrofoam package. I'm going to ban it. Just like in 2012, Michael Bloomberg banned sodas larger than 16 ounces. The mere fact that he would come out and say, look, if people want to have more than 16 ounces, they can just go back and get refills. Or they can buy three or four different sodas that are 16 ounces max. Are you kidding me? If I want to have a 32 or 64 ounce or a 198 ounce iced tea, unsweetened, that should be my right to be able to do that. Why is that necessary? Why is it necessary to create a ban? Because you don't like it? That's what it boils down to. Organic waste from landfills. Ban on that, 2013. He banned collection of yard waste, grass clippings during certain times of the year. That was from 2003 to 2013. Commercial music over 45 decibels. That was in 2013. Chain restaurant menus without calorie counts, 2008. And I don't have a problem with that. But I don't think it should be dictated. I think it should have been. And I think most restaurants, if you would have gone to them and said, look, we want people to be able to know the calories. Fine. And in fact, when you look at more people wanting healthier choices, the food companies have had no choice but to respond to that. Let's see. Posting of signs in city-owned grassy areas, he banned that in 2013. Non-fuel-efficient cabs in 2007. New cabs that aren't Nissan NV200s, that was 2013. Certain greenhouse gas emissions, 2007. Government buildings that aren't LEED certified, banned that, 2005. Non-hurricane-proof buildings in coastal areas, 2013. And this one, black roofs in 2009. Now, he said that was a suggested voluntary ban. Apparently because there's too much heat causing climate change from black roofs. Who the hell knows? Construction cranes over 25 years old. That was 2013. Number 6 and number 4 heavy heating oils, 2011. Less than a 2-to-1 ratio of female-male restrooms in new public buildings. That was 2005. Cell phones in the schools, 2006. And here is the beauty. He banned term limits in 2008, which limited New York City mayors to a 2-term limit maximum, a total of 8 years. Now, here's a little kicker on that. You'll recall that in 2001, when 9/11 took place, Mayor Rudy Giuliani was entering, I believe, the last year of his term. There's going to be an election in November. So he was already, there was an election scheduled for that November. Bloomberg was running in the election, I believe, was going to announce. 9/11 takes place. Rudy Giuliani, the mayor, and there were calls from everywhere, every government official, every single member of law enforcement saying, we should, because of this emergency and what's going on, we should allow Rudy Giuliani to run for a third term or continue just have like an extension. This went on and on. And who was the one person that vehemently fought that? The one person that said, look, things are going to happen in the world. Things are going to happen in the city. But the people have made their will known twice. They want term limits for the mayor. 8 years maximum. This should be no exception. Life will go on in the city. The election should go on. There should be strict term limits. Even though there was a huge, huge outcry, a swell of support for Mayor Rudy Giuliani to continue for either another year or to allow him to run for four more years. Ultimately, term limits prevailed. The people spoke. They wanted term limits enacted. So, the election is held in November 2001. Bloomberg wins for mayor. He wins the first term, runs for a second term, and wins. Now we get to the end, the last year of his term. And so what does Mayor Michael Bloomberg decide? He decides that he's going to change the rules to allow him to run for a third term as New York City mayor. Now, here is a candidate running as the anti-Trump. He calls Donald Trump a bully. He bills himself as the un-Trump. At a campaign rally last week, he said, I'm the un-Trump. I know how to deal with bullies like that. But when he was mayor from 2002 to 2013, Bloomberg was the bully. He acted as an authoritarian dictator by changing rules, by enacting bans, and changing the rule, the one rule where citizens of New York City voted not once, but twice to establish hard term limits on mayors of New York. Two terms, that's it. Well, he changed the rules. He said, well, we're in an unprecedented time right now because of the financial crisis. Never mind that in 2001 there was an unprecedented time with a terrorist attack in New York City that brought down the World Trade Centers, the World Trade Center towers. Now, between a financial crisis and the World Trade Centers, I would tell you that what happened in 2001 was far worse. But nonetheless, Bloomberg made the case saying, we have a financial crisis. I need to be involved. I need to be here. It does not make sense at this time to change mayors. I'm equipped to handle this. So he ran for a third term in 2009 by engineering the repeal of the term limit law that voters voted on twice. Here's the kicker. He spent loads of money to run for his third term, and he strong-armed the city council with all sorts of quid pro quo things and some hardball tactics for the city council to overrule that, even though, in my estimation, it should have been taken to court because a court would have absolutely overruled the city council. The people spoke, not once, twice. Did Bloomberg care? Nope. So for him to go after Donald Trump as an authoritarian dictator is nonsense. It's a load of bull. Donald Trump hasn't just signed bills into law by himself. When certain bills were voted down in the House or Senate, he didn't say, well, like Bloomberg did, I don't care what the people said, I don't care what the Constitution says, I'm going to enact it anyway. He didn't do that. Bloomberg did it. So his last term, he runs for mayor, spends loads of money, and he won, I mean, barely won. He had 51% of the vote. I mean, barely won. 5 points ahead of his challenger, who basically spent almost no money. And Bloomberg argued, no, let me call him Bloomberg because that's what he is. He's gloomy. Bloomberg argued he was the only person that could steer the city of New York through the fallout of the global financial crisis in 2008. But here's what he did afterwards. After he gets sworn in for his third term, he voted in 2010 to reinstate the two-term limit. So only he could enjoy a third term. And he called his third term an extraordinary one-time thing. No, what that showed was that Bloomberg believed the people who voted, not once but twice, on strict term limits didn't matter. Because he is superior to them. He is smarter to them. He is the nanny chief of New York, the nanny in chief. And one other thing I should mention, he also banned that I forgot. How could I forget this? Bloomberg proposed a ban on baby formula as New York City mayor. Get this. In 2012, Bloomberg created the Latch On initiative. See, once I talk about Bloomberg, Barron goes crazy. Pendragon's Royal Barron starts barking. This happened last week. I started mentioning Michael Bloomberg. See, listen, did you just hear that? Barron, Bloomberg, Michael Bloomberg. He's looking at me. He's like, I want to attack. He's ready to attack. He's showing me his chompers. But in 2012, Bloomberg created the Latch On initiative, exerting control over a mother's decision on how to feed her baby. He demanded that mothers breastfeed their babies, insisted that hospitals keep baby formula under lock and key. And the New York City Health Department, under Bloomberg's order, was going to monitor the number of formula bottles being given out and demand a medical reason for each one. Who the hell was Michael Bloomberg to decide whether a woman wants to breastfeed or just feed with baby formula? More than half the city's hospitals agreed to institute the Latch On program, and those hospitals ended the practice of distributing free bags of formulas and baby bottles to new mothers. And he enlisted the support of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and they presented it as a health initiative for both mother and baby. Now, first he banned sugary drinks. Then he bans drinks over 16 ounces. Now he wants to ban what mothers can feed their babies, demanding that you can only serve breast milk to the baby. Belly up to the boob. You can only have breast milk. There's no formula for you. And many mothers were outraged, saying it's the mother that should choose what's right for her and her child, not the government. So Bloomberg has a history, has an absolute history of being an authoritarian dictator. And what a pleasure it was to see a guy that has spent $400 million on advertising to buy his way towards the Democrat presidential nomination get his ass absolutely pounded. This is enemy number one for those of us that enjoy cigars. Enemy number one for those of us that believe in personal choice and freedom. Enemy number one for those of us that want to go into a 7-Eleven and get a big gulp. Adios, Bloomberg, you bastard. You're done.
The General is now on Instagram. Follow him for pictures of the latest cigars, libations, and what he's enjoying during the show.
That could be interesting, and we'll have to block out some faces.
Go to Instagram and search Cigar Dave.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Reading all year long, and help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
The Cigar Dave Show resumes in 5, 4, 3, 2. An unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy. It's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
For the first time in 6 weeks, since January 11th, I am actually going to light and enjoy a fine cigar. Now, why did I wait 6 weeks? Well, as you all know by now, I had a terrible upper respiratory infection, developed into bronchitis, and the last thing I want to do was aggravate the bronchitis, aggravate the upper respiratory infection, and I had actually no desire to smoke a cigar while I was sick. Zero. Zero, zero, zero. Only this week, after my cough has totally subsided, have I felt ready to enjoy a cigar. And like most of you, I don't smoke cigars in mass. The biggest question I receive is, General, how many cigars a day do you smoke? And my answer is, can't give you an answer, because many times I don't smoke during long stretches. If I'm traveling, if I'm busy, I want to enjoy my cigar. I want to get total pleasure. I don't light a cigar just to light a cigar. I don't need to light 5-6 cigars a day. So in many cases, I don't smoke cigars. And people are shocked. People that are not cigar connoisseurs are taken aback. Like, I don't understand. You love cigars. Is it like cigarettes you smoke every day? And the answer is no. And then, of course, I educate them, and then they totally understand. So the first time in 6 weeks, I'm going to enjoy the January 2020 selection in the Cigar Dave Officers Club, the Alec and Bradley Gatekeeper. Now, Gatekeeper is the second release from Alec and Bradley Rubin, the sons of Alec Bradley founder Alan Rubin. And Alan wanted his sons to go out on their own. A year ago, they created their first cigar. And then this year, or I should say last year, last summer, it was released, but they started working with legendary blender and cigar master and good friend of the Cigar Dave Show, Ernesto Perez Querillo, at his Tabacalera La Alianza factory in República Dominicana. They all worked together for months on coming up with various blends. They created different blends to try, and they came up with a smooth and rich flavor profile. The final result, Gatekeeper. Medium to full-bodied cigar, notes of spice, sweetness, cedar. Another winner from Alec and Bradley Rubin, Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, Nicaraguan binder, Dominican Nicaraguan filler. Absolutely lovely looking cigar. And I remember when I talked to Alec and Bradley, and they said, look, the reason we call this Gatekeeper is because Ernesto Perez Carrillo has all this knowledge. And he was the man that really said, listen, now you don't want to do this and you want to do that and think about doing this. So he was like a gatekeeper to make sure that they did the right thing. And I've just pulled out, I'm not going anything huge for my first cigar. I'm going to pull out the Corona, 5 inches by 44. It's a classic size. Many Cuban cigars came in the Corona, and many Dominican, Nicaraguan, Honduran cigars at one time did. Then they faded away, but they're starting to come back. It's a wonderful size. It's a classic shape that will never go out of style. And I'm going to enjoy the Alec and Bradley Gatekeeper today. The first time I'm lighting a cigar and conducting litation ceremonies in the first time, 6 weeks. Oh, the aroma of the cigar. Can't wait to get a hold of it.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
I have to tell you, after 6 weeks, I have to build up my hand and finger muscles here for my double-edged stainless steel guillotine. It's almost like I'm going to have some soreness in my middle finger and my thumb from basically opening and closing this double-edged guillotine. It's almost like when you start exercising again, you start lifting weights, you're sore. It's probably what's going to happen. So I'm going to make sure I properly warm up the fingers before I'm ready to go here. Yep, I'm ready to go.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
Special litation device from the Cigar Dave R&D Laboratories, the research and development laboratories, the guys that wear the white lab coats that have pocket protectors. I mean, these guys are litation geeks. They think 24/7, 365 of new litation devices. And they've just handed me one. And what's cool is you just press this button and the top releases and it reveals 4 very cool litation devices. 4 jet flames. And so they said, General, you haven't had a cigar in 6 weeks. We've got to give you something special, something new to properly celebrate. So basically they said, we're calling this the breakout. Because you're breaking out the cigars for the first time in 6 weeks, this is the breakout litation device. So from the Cigar Dave R&D Labs, listen to that. Hear that? Cover opens, 4 litation, jet flames. Listen to that. Beautiful. Fits in the hand, nice tank. Very nice. So the Cigar Dave experimental prototype breakout, my litation device today.
Cigar pre-litation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
Perfect cut. Let me get rid of that. Outstanding. Oh, the aroma of this cigar, absolutely magnificent. In fact, Pendragon's Royal Baron, Puppy Baron, has come right next to me because he wants the cigar. In fact, me see if I can grab a picture here while Baron is next to me.
Wait, hang on a second. Baron, there you go. Look at me like that. Oh, yeah.
In fact, we'll tweak that out. Now, I took the band off of this earlier. And the reason was, not that I took the band off, these actually were bundled cigars that were sent to me. And this was just before. This is the final blend, but before they put the band on them. But I've had them aging. So these have been aging now for probably 9 months, 10 months. These are going to be magnificent. Delightful looking cigar, beautiful Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. Let me now toast the foot of this beautiful stick. Absolutely fantastic. Just delightful. Oh, yeah. Listen to that. Here comes the puff. Oh, first puff in 6 weeks. Magnificent. Mmm. Oh, ecstasy. Pleasure. Whoa. Oh. Outstanding. This is, when you don't smoke a cigar for 6 weeks, and your palate is totally clean and ready, this is taste that is just jumping out off my taste buds. This Alec and Bradley Gatekeeper.
I just touch up the cigar one more time.
Outstanding. As I blow on the foot of the cigar, even amber glow.
I am in no rush.
As I savor this lovely Gatekeeper cigar, taking my first few puffs, and the aroma around me, now that I can actually smell things again, because my nasal cavities aren't gunked up with all the upper respiratory infection viral garbage. Oh, I'm just taking this all in, and wafting around me. Absolutely spectacular. As Mick the Brit would say, sterling, General. Absolutely sterling. I've got my cigar. Now I need a proper libation accoutrement.
Scotch, bourbon, and beer. Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
Well, in just a few minutes, when I am done with litation and libation ceremony maneuvers, I will tell you about a record-breaking amount paid at auction for a very special bottle of Macallan. Now, I can't get the Macallan that was auctioned off. And at the price, a little bit stiff. However, Macallan has some phenomenal single malt Scotch whiskies that are available without having to spend huge money. I mean, they have Scotch, single malt Scotches from $30, $40 all the way up. And I've selected one that's very special. Now, this is not an inexpensive spirit. The spirit I'm going to enjoy today is going to run somewhere, depending where you go, anywhere from maybe $275 to $350. Special occasion. It is a special occasion type of spirit, and it's a special occasion today because for the first time in 6 weeks, I'm actually enjoying a cigar. So I've broken out one of my favorites, the Macallan Sherry Oak 18. An iconic Macallan robust flavor. It is part of their Sherry Oak range where they take their single malt whiskeys. They mature them in hand-picked sherry-seasoned oak casks for richness, complexity, a lot of flavors. And I'm going to pour it right now here. Let me take it. And before I ever bought a full bottle, I actually bought it by the dram because I wanted to see what it would taste like. And as soon as I bought it, I think I spent $25 for a dram. But it was better than spending $300 or $350 for a bottle of something I wasn't sure of. But I'm sure of this now, this Macallan Sherry Oak 18. It has, you can just see the aroma right off the bat. Definitely getting that sherry and getting some ginger, almost some vanilla. Let me say cheers. Some raisin, some definite orange. Little subtle smokiness, not a lot. Definitely get that oak, that sherry. Take another sip. Oh, this is good. Oh, my tongue is tantalized My taste buds are in exuberance mode between the cigar, my Alec and Bradley Gatekeeper, and my Macallan Sherry Oak Single Malt 18. Delightful. Not an inexpensive spirit. Definitely worth it. And as I always say, if you make it a special occasion type of spirit, you pay $350, $375, $400. You don't have this every day. It's not an everyday spirit. It's a very special occasion spirit. It's a special occasion today. And speaking of a spirit that will be special occasion, the Macallan 1926. Big auction. In fact, Mick the Brit attended the auction. Mick the Brit was there for us as the European colonel in charge of the European Theater of Operations. Mick was at Sotheby's. He said, "General, I will conduct some intel. A rare bottle of scotch, the Macallan 1926, 60 years old, from cask number 263, was the headline sale of the Ultimate Whiskey Collection auction, which took place at Sotheby's in London. Now, more than 460 bottles went on sale during the auction, including 178 bottles from the Macallan Fine and Rare series. The Macallan Fine and Rare series, when it first came out, the 60, I believe, was about $30,000. Now, most people would look and say, okay, $30,000 for a bottle of Scotch whiskey? But who knew that it would be worth what it sold for? The 60-year-old bottle, the first to appear from the Fine and Rare series in more than a decade. It was offered for auction by a private American collector. The original estimate was that it would fetch between $450,000 and $578,000. What was the final auction price? Now remember, it was initially $30,000 when it was first sold way, way back, when Macallan released it. Private collector buys it, sits on it, holds it, thought he was going to get between $450,000 and $578,000 large. Did he get $700,000? Let's play the Price is Right game, the higher lower game. Sergeant Steve, do we have any Price is Right theme music by any chance?
Give me a second.
I will give Sergeant Steve a second to come up with that. Because I remember back in the day, Bob Barker would play the higher lower game. He'd give out a price and he'd say higher, lower, and then people would have to guess and there would be, I don't know, 30 seconds on the clock for two different products. And if you won both or won one, fantastic. And you ended up in the showcase showdown anyway. So we're going to play the high and low game because this Macallan 1926 broke the auction record. It shattered it. Now, the whiskey was distilled. There we go. Here we go. Close enough. All right, Sergeant Steve, the whiskey was distilled in 1926, bottled in 1986. It is considered the holy grail of whiskey. Part of the 170-bottle collection of Macallan's Fine and Rare series spanning from 1926 to 1921. And this rare bottle of Macallan 1926 can be yours if the price is right. So, Sergeant Steve, let's play the higher-lower game, and I'll tell you what. We said it was going to start. We thought it would go between $450,000 and $578,000. It went for more than that, so we can start. The low floor will be $600,000. So, Sergeant Steve, you spew out your estimates. We're going to put 15 seconds on the clock. Wait a minute. Since there's normally two items, but we'll put 15 seconds on the clock. Hold on a second. Okay, that is the... Here's what we're going to hear here. That means the timer is up. So I'm going to put 15 seconds on the stopwatch on my smartphone here. And the 15 seconds, Sergeant Steve, will start when you give me your first bid. So the floor is $600,000. I will say higher or lower. Sergeant Steve, go.
Million.
Higher.
Million five.
Higher.
2 million.
Lower.
175.
Higher.
185.
Higher.
19.
Yes! Oh, and you just came in with 1 second to go. 1 second, you got it. Beautiful. $1.9 million. And Sergeant Steve, I'd like to say that bottle of Macallan 1926 is yours because you guessed the right price. But unfortunately, that's not how it works here on the Cigar Dave Show.
Imagine the taxes on that if you won that.
The taxes on that, if it were in the United States, if it was $1.9 million, right off the bat, you're going into the highest tax bracket. You're looking at, forget state, in Florida, where there's no state income tax, you're looking at 40%. Right off the bat, you're looking at $800,000. So even if you won it, you'd have to sell it to be able to pay the taxes. Not a good deal.
No.
Not a good deal. But even if you did sell it, pay the taxes, you'd still come out with $1 million. So that's not bad. Not a bad deal at all. So this 60-year-old bottle just smashed the record. It features a hand-painted design by Irish artist Michael Dill. Sergeant Steve, let's kick up some Irish music to celebrate. What do you think? Do we have some Irish music? As I take a little sip of my Macallan Sherry Oak 18. Let me take a sip. Very nice. So this Macallan 1926, Mick was all on top of it. In fact, he called me. He said, General, would you like to put me to put a bid in? And I said, no, Mick, not at all. If it was $30,000 and I knew it was going to go to $1.9 million, would I have held it for 30 years? Oh, you better believe it. Under secure, strict vault conditions. But nobody knows that. And we're seeing more collectors now that are purchasing very rare, very old, certified single malt Scotch whiskeys, holding them for 10, 20, 30 years, and then putting it up for auction. I would love to know who bought it. Love to know who paid $1.9 million. Because if I paid $1.9 million for that bottle of Scotch, ain't no way in hell would I ever drink that. No way in hell. But Mick the Brit, nice job representing us at Christie's, or at Sotheby's. There are some other auction items that Mick did call me on that I was considering. But at the end, we said, nah, we'll pass. But it just goes to show, you don't have to go out and spend $1.9 million or $30,000 to enjoy spirits. Because I always say, it's not necessarily the spirit. Spirit's a big component. But it's who you are enjoying the spirits with. Because I can tell you right now, just like cigars, it's not the cigar, it's who you're with. If I could enjoy a cigar, one cigar and a glass of Scotch or Crown Royal with my grandfather's Cigar Abe, you can be sure to me that would be priceless. Absolutely priceless. And in fact, every time I do enjoy a cigar and have a little Crown Royal, I always think about him. He loved his gold label cigars. As a kid, he'd always give me the band. He'd give me the box. I'd always go with him when he would buy his cigars. Love it. I was the only grandchild of his that ended up following in his footsteps, enjoying fine cigars. And I wear that as a badge of honor very proudly. So if I could have one cigar and a libation with my grandfather's Cigar Abe, priceless. And many of you would feel the same way, whether it was your father, a brother, an uncle, a friend, a mentor, somebody very close to you that introduced you to cigars, that mentored you, that helped you in life along the way. Those special people. To all of them, I raise that glass right now, and I say cheers to all of you. Going down in their memory, in their honor.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club has been en fuego, on fire with marvelous selections, and we continue that trend for February. We feature a full-flavored selection of Crown Heads' unique artisanal quality cigars. First up, the Jericho Hill, dedicated to the man in black. Hello, I'm Johnny Cash. Jericho Hill, the first Nicaraguan cigar from Crown Heads. It's wrapped in a Mexican San Andrean Maduro wrapper. Rich, dark, delivers medium to full-flavored attitude. Then we feature the La Imperiosa. Buckle up. It's a seriously full-flavored beauty. Ecuadorian Habano Oscuro wrapper ignites massive notes of pepper. And then we wrap it up with Juarez, inspired by Jericho Hill. But Juarez amps up the strength, delivering notes of spice and sweetness. $22.95 per month. You get three great cigars like the Crown Heads full-flavored sampler. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and join the Officers Club today.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone, from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
It's time to glow at the Redding Rancheria Community Fund 2020 Year to Remember. Saturday, March 7th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Since the inception of the fund in 2002, it has granted approximately $3.4 million to the local area. So come join us in celebrating the 71 organizations that the Redding Rancheria has been able to help with a surprise gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Redding Rancheria Community Fund, furthering the help the Community Fund does for our area. So come experience firsthand all the good the Community Fund does and support the tribe.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless heads.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Thoroughly enjoying my Alec and Bradley Gatekeeper as well as my Macallan Sherry Cask 18. Very quickly, I want to recognize someone that passed away this week. You may have never heard of him. I didn't. But you do something that he invented every single day, multiple times a day. Larry Tesler, computer scientist, passed away Monday. He joined Xerox Palo Alto Research Center called PARC in 1973. And what did he develop there that you use every day, multiple times a day on your smartphone, on your computer, Microsoft Word, Excel? He developed cut, copy, and paste. Think about that. Something that we do every single day. I got to cut this and paste it. I got to copy this and paste it. We do it every day. And never once did I ever think, who invented that? Something that we do every day. The guy that invented it, Larry Tesler, passed away Monday at age 74. Only appropriate that we give him a snappy salute. Something we do every day, a name you wouldn't know, but Larry Tesler developed the cut, copy, and paste. Somebody had to invent it, and Larry did. Rest in peace, Larry. Your legacy will certainly live on, even though many people may not know your name. Hour two of the Cigar Dave Show. Much more coming your way next.
Hour one of the Cigar Dave Show is now complete. There's time to refresh your cocktail, as the General will return in 7 minutes.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Bernie Sanders, the big winner by double digits in Nevada tonight. In El Paso, Texas today, the Democratic frontrunner said he knows that he can beat the president and he can create the government that his supporters want.
When I look out at this audience, I have absolute confidence that we can create a government that is based on compassion, is based on love, is based on truth, not what we have now of greed, corruption, and lies.
And, but the caucus is a complicated process, as George Bonzani explains.
The Nevada caucuses have been billed as an important threshold to test a candidate's support among diverse ethnicities, unlike the preceding Iowa and New Hampshire results. Apart from bragging rights for having front-runner status, at stake are only 36 pledged delegates, not counting 12 superdelegates. For perspective, the Nevada results represent only a tiny fraction of the Democratic Party's total of 4,750 delegates. To win on the first ballot at the convention, a candidate would have to acquire 1,991 pledged delegates. George Bonzani reporting.
A temporary truce between the United States and the Taliban now in effect in Afghanistan as of yesterday, setting the stage for the two sides to sign a peace deal next week, which would effectively end nearly two decades of war in that country and hopefully bring U.S. troops home.
If successfully implemented, the week-long reduction in violence agreement will be followed by the signing of the peace accord on February 29th, fulfilling one of President Trump's main campaign promises.
Keith Peters reporting. Hundreds of supporters of Julian Assange marched through the streets of London Saturday to pressure the U.K. government into refusing to extradite the WikiLeaks founder to the United States to face spying charges. An extradition hearing has been scheduled in London for Monday. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Bastian Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
Japan recorded a trade deficit for the month of January as exports declined amid worries about the spread of the new virus that could deaden regional economic growth.
The Japanese finance ministry says the trade deficit for last month totaled $12 billion. That marked the third straight month of a trade deficit for the world's third largest economy. The ministry notes both Japan's exports and imports to China fell in January. Exports and imports to the U.S. also fell for the month.
Jeremy House reporting. In October, the nation managed to eke out a trade surplus, largely because falling crude oil prices offset a drop in exports. Billionaire Warren Buffett's annual letter to Berkshire Hathaway shareholders came out today, and the investor says taking advice from Wall Street deals is a bit like asking the barber whether or not you need a haircut. He says shareholders should always be wary when taking advice from people who would stand to profit from the transaction. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A private equity firm seeking to buy rights to operate the Internet's .org suffix is looking to ease concerns from the nonprofit community by saying they'll cap price hikes and create an advisory board with veto powers.
Ethos Capital has offered $1.1 billion to buy the Public Interest Registry, the nonprofit corporation that runs the databases containing more than 10 million .org names registered worldwide. Organizations ranging from the Girl Scouts of the USA and Consumer Reports to the American Bible Society have opposed the sale, warning of potential price gouging and censorship. California's Attorney General and four congressional members have also requested information to evaluate a deal's potential impact to nonprofits. Patrick Foss reporting.
A Northern Virginia political consultant has been sentenced to a year in prison for diverting tens of thousands of dollars from conservative political action committees, then filing false reports to cover it all up. More on these stories at townhall.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
This is AMEM, the Alpha Male Entertainment Network. Broadcasting from Humidor 1A in the Cigar City of Tampa, Florida, USA. Welcome to the Cigar Dave Show. Weekly excursion into the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
We continue with Alpha Male Pleasure Maneuvers. With yours truly, the foremost authority on cigars, spirits, diversions, dice, dames, good life, battling the enemies of pleasure, taking on all sorts of prohibition, fighting for your rights as an alpha, to enjoy the victors, the spoils of your hard work. There are many enemies of pleasure, Michael Bloomberg one of them, but there are many more lurking, like little cockroaches. I want to rear their ugly heads and say, you can't enjoy a fine spirit. You can't enjoy a fine steak. You can't enjoy that cigar. You can't enjoy your harem. And our answer to that, screw them. We are smart enough to make our own decisions. We don't need to live in a nanny state. Enough. We will make our own decisions. Now, I've always said, I believe in discrimination. Now, many of you are saying, wait a minute, General, whoa, you believe in discrimination? Not so fast, my friends. Let me explain. I do believe in discrimination. I believe that people should have the right to associate with whom they like, to create their own clubs, private clubs, with their own established criteria. So let me give you a couple of examples where I believe discrimination should be allowed. If a group of women want to get together once a week, once a month, and talk about dame things, women items, go out to lunch at a certain spot, a regular basis, maybe it's once a week or once a month, where they get together for lunch or dinner, and they only allow membership of women who either have a similar interest, maybe they all knit together, or maybe they are all physicians, or they're doctors, or they're businesswomen, or they're entrepreneurs, or women from a certain area, or women from a certain religion, whatever the case may be. If they would like to meet and establish a strict criteria for their membership, they should be allowed to do so. If a group of men say, look, we are going to create our own club, and we have strict membership criteria, only men who are cigar connoisseurs, who have conservative views, or could be Democrat views, liberal views, whatever the case may be, who like single malt scotch, that is the criteria to become a member of our club. If you don't like scotch and like wine, you can't join. If you don't like cigars, you cannot join. I have no problem with that. None. If you are a private institution or a private club and you don't take federal dollars, decide who you want to be with. I have no problem with that. Why do I want to be in a club or an organization that doesn't necessarily want me or I don't fit their criteria? If I want to put together a group of men, let's say, forget men, a group of people, but they have to be cigar connoisseurs, and they have to all have voted for President Trump, should that not be my right to put a group together like that and discriminate if you voted for Hillary Clinton or if you don't like cigars? I think discrimination is perfectly fine. Just as I think that if a specific business would like to only cater to a specific gender, male or females, it should be their absolute right. And I have a perfect case in point. King's Cuts. That's King's Cuts with a K, K-U-T-S, in Ponca City, Oklahoma, where the wind comes whipping down the range 100 miles north of Oklahoma City. That barbershop has a strict no girlfriends or wives policy. Well, a woman came in with her husband by the name of Maliki Skaronski. And here's what she had to say when she came into the King's Cuts men's barbershop with her husband.
The man kind of ignores my husband and just directly approaches me and says, I'm sorry, but we have a strict no women's policy. You can't be here.
What's the problem? They have a strict no women's policy. If that is how the barbershop would like to operate, that should be fine. I'm sure there are many salons for women that say, we don't want men. Men are not allowed. And I will guarantee you that feminists all over the place will applaud saying, yes. Just like there are many gyms that say, you cannot have men. This is a women's only gymnasium, a women's only athletic club, a women's only exercise facility. No problem with that. That's discriminatory, but I have no problem. Women want to be able to exercise by themselves. Okay, fine. Men should have these same rights. Same thing with a barbershop or a women's salon. And I guarantee you, women feminists, if women say we only allow women in this salon, I guarantee you they would be saying, we have the right. Women want to be able to feel secure and safe. We don't want to have men there gawking. So therefore, we encourage women's only salons. And my answer is, okay, fine. No problem. Shouldn't be an issue. But apparently, this woman had a major issue. Well, the owner of King's Cuts, Daxton Nichols, gave his side of the story.
In New York City, there's over 17 women's only clubs where women can go and do the salon thing, and they can go get their nails done and their hair done, talk business amongst each other, and do that whole women's power, hear me roar stuff.
Helen Reddy, I am woman, hear me roar. That's right. If a woman's salon says no men, just dames, no problem. You're not going to see men jumping up and down saying, I demand the salon allow me to get my hair cut and colored. I mean, I can just see Cory Booker now. Cory Booker, Spartacus. I demand to be able to go into a woman's salon because, frankly, I'm one of them. Even though I'm of the male gender, I should be allowed in. Oh, I got another story about him and his girlfriend a little bit. Well, what's the problem? The owner of this barbershop says, hey, women have their own salons. They can do their own thing. I should be allowed to do the same thing. Because he wants to create a man cave environment.
We want guys to be able to come in here and hang out and be guys and not have to worry about watching what they say or what they talk about because there's a lady present.
What are we doing to hurt somebody's feelings? I mean, show me where we hurt you really. I mean, this is just people getting offended just because they can.
Bingo. Bingo. Not hurting anybody. They want to have a man cave. Men want to talk men's items, just like women want to talk about women's issues or women's talk. Men want to tell dirty jokes. Men want to talk about dames. Men want to be politically incorrect. They should have the right to do that. And King's Cuts in Ponca City, Oklahoma, they don't take any government money. They're not a government-run institution. They're privately owned. He can set the rules. Now, of course, there's going to be somebody that's going to say, well, this is outrageous. We're going to sue. Mark my words, somewhere along the line, some feminist, some female is going to say, that's not right. Even though women can have their own salons, women can have their own clubs. So I believe, yes, in certain circumstances, discrimination is fine. If you are privately owned, or if you are a private club that says, we only want women of a certain profession, or a certain common background, we don't want anybody else. No problem. No problem. This country now has gotten infatuated with, well, we have to have equality for everything. I'm sorry. I don't want to necessarily belong to a women's club. I don't have an inner need to say, well, these 10 women are going to their weekly women's lunch. I should be able to join them. Not really. Could care less. It's their right. Just like if I want to have a cigar club that says, the number one rule, you have to be a cigar connoisseur. Number two, you have to be a Buffalo Bills fan. Number three, you have to despise Michael Bloomberg and Bernard Sanders. If you meet those four qualifications, you're in. What's wrong with that? Should have no problem whatsoever. So if you want to have, whether you are a woman or you're a man, and you want to cater only to the same sex for your business, you want to create a man cave or a woman cave, have at it. You want to create your own private club, social club, and there's certain criteria for membership, go ahead. No problem. I have no desire, I have no urge to bang on some woman's club's door saying, I demand that you allow me in. You're being discriminatory. Yes, they are, and that's fine. The problem is everybody today, oh, it's politically incorrect if you say you're for discrimination. I am for discrimination. I don't want in private clubs, women's clubs or men's clubs, I don't believe that everybody should have the right to join. As I stated, if a woman's group says, we only want women, we only want to talk about this subject, or this one commonality we all have, one profession, great. Let them meet. Let them meet in peace. Let them enjoy themselves. Just like I can get a group of men together that have shared interests and say, fine. No problem. We are going to have our own club. There's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean that you believe in discrimination in general. It just means that you believe in allowing people with the same hobbies or the same passions or the same thought or ideas or the same gender to congregate amongst themselves. End of discussion. Enough of the political correctness BS. Real quickly, if you are not a member of the Cigar Dave Officers Club, big mistake. Huge mistake. We have started off the year with two phenomenal cigars. The cigar that I'm enjoying right now, the Alec and Bradley Gatekeeper. That was our January 2020 selection. Beautiful cigar. And then for February, those of you that are members of the Officers Club, you're going to be enjoying the Crowned Heads Sampler, a full-flavored selection of Crown Heads' unique artisanal quality cigars. And they were mailed, I believe, Tuesday. So by the end of the week, you should already have them by now. And beginning of the next week, those of you on the West Coast, you should have your February 2020 Officers Club selection. Three cigars. The Jericho Hill, dedicated to the man in black. Hello, I'm Johnny Cash. First Nicaraguan cigar from Crown Heads. Mexican San Andrean Maduro or Marron wrapper. A lot of medium to full flavored attitude. La Imperiosa. A full flavored beauty. Buckle up. Ecuadorian Habano Oscuro wrapper. Ignites massive notes of spice and pepper, but very approachable. And then Juarez, inspired by Jericho Hill. Juarez amps up the strength while delivering notes of spice and sweetness. Three full-flavored cigars from Crown Heads. Normally we have some medium, some mild, some full, but we wanted to do something very unique from Crown Heads. So those of you that are members of the Officers Club that like full-flavored, bold, rich cigars, you're going to love the February 2020 Officers Club. If you are not a member, $22.95 per month, you get three fantastic cigars in a Cigar Dave Officers Club pouch. Go to CigarDave.com now, click on Officers Club, and make sure you join before the end of the month to get in for the March selection, which we will talk about next week. All right, so, men's only barbershop. People want to have their own club, I say, so be it. No problem, they should have that right. Now, here's a great story. those of us that enjoy spirits. Here's a perfect example. Let's say you want to create a group of men and women that only enjoy craft beer. You should be able to put that club together. If someone says, well, I don't like beer, I just like wine, but I want to join your club, sorry, you don't meet the qualifications. No problem. But this is a great story. Bradenton Brewery, Bradenton, Florida, just about 35 minutes to the south of the Cigar City. A Bradenton Brewery called Motorworks Brewing has an award-winning Cruiser Golden Lager. Very well-regarded beer. And they wanted to do something that would recognize man's best friend. Dogs. Canines. So they created a special beer. They took their Cruiser Golden Lager, and they said, we are going to create something to help one of the dog shelters in their area, Dog Shelter Manatee. They created a can that features adoptable dogs on the label. So every can has an adoptable dog. They pick several dogs or multiple dogs. They work with a printer in Pinellas County, which is right across Tampa Bay from the Cigar City of Tampa. And they featured a dog at Shelter Manatee. Now, this came out in January. Within a very short time, two of the dogs that were on the cans of beer were adopted. The beer is sold in 4 packs for $9, 24-pack cases for $40. So popular, the brewery has to brew more. And they wanted to help raise money for the Manatee County Dog Shelter, for Shelter Manatee. And they even have something called a Yappy Hour at their brewery, where beer that was sold, some of it, the proceeds, go to the shelter. Not the first time a brewery has involved dogs. Fargo Brewery in North Dakota teamed up with a local dog rescue organization to put adoptable dogs on their labels. And I'm looking at a picture of the Fargo Brewing Company. It's great. They got all sorts of dogs on there, and I think that is a wonderful thing, helping to raise money. But here's where it gets very interesting. But wait! There's more. When Motorworks Brewing put the shelter dogs on the beer cans, they knew they'd raise money and awareness and maybe help adopt some dogs, which they did. However, something very special happened. A woman who was scrolling through her Facebook feed by the name of Monica Mathis in, I believe it was in Minnesota. Yes, Minnesota. She's from Minnesota. Scrolling through her Facebook feed, and she sees a story on Motorworks Brewing and how they are putting pictures of adoptable dogs on the beer cans. And she scrolls through, and she sees a picture of one of the cans, and the dog looked very familiar. She clicked on it and then said, look how close it looks to my dog. Well, after getting a closer look of the pit mix named Day Day, she was sure of it. She said that is the same dog she lost in Iowa 3 years ago. She had raised the dog from a puppy, although Day Day was known as Hazel when it got to the shelter, or the shelter named it Hazel. Got loose one day in May 2017, despite hours of driving, screaming her name. Monica Mathis was not able to find her. The search continued for weeks, no success. And as a dog owner myself, dog lover, that has got to be just excruciating, where you can't find your dog, dog is lost. And now there are these little GPS tags that you can put on that can trace, that can monitor where your dogs are. Good little item to have. So she is unable to find her dog, screaming her name for hours, continued the search for weeks. She ends up moving back to Minnesota back in 2017, figured she'd never see the dog again. She said, if I didn't see that can on Facebook, I don't think I'd ever would have ever found her again. So nobody knows how the dog made it to Florida. Somehow the dog ended up at Manatee County Animal Services in March 2019, but the shelter was unable to find her owner. She was microchipped, but, and this is an important note for all of you that are dog owners that have had your dog or cat microchipped, You need to make sure you continually have the contact information updated. If you change your cell phone number, if you change your address, you need to have that information updated. Mathis had changed her last name after a divorce, and the number changed so they could not make contact with her. So you've got this microchip. It's got the number of the dog. There's a registry. They go to look at it. That's the first thing when a dog comes to a vet or a pound or a shelter. They scan it. Yep, we got the microchip. Great. Thinking we're going to be able to find the owner. Can't get the information. What can you do? So think about this. Talk about a crazy circumstance. The dog ends up from Iowa to Florida. Nobody knows how it got there. But she reached out to the shelter. She provided vet records, provided photographs to prove ownership. The shelter confirmed that Day Day was indeed Hazel. Mathis started crying. She couldn't believe it. She said, I didn't think I'd ever find my dog again. And she said, I have already updated my microchip information, and she urged other pet owners to make sure they do the same thing. All of you that have a dog or a cat or a pet that have your pet microchipped, if you have moved, if your numbers changed, in fact, it's probably a good idea to make sure that the correct number is listed. I'm going to go do that actually this afternoon myself. Even though I know Baron, when I had the contact information put on there less than 2 years ago, but I'm going to make sure. I want to make sure that indeed that information is correct. And also they've got these little GPS tags, rechargeable, that you can buy as well. Good idea as well. So this woman has never been to Florida. She just started planning a trip to come down and get her dog, but here's good news. The local nonprofit Friends of Manatee County Animal Services said they're going to pay all the transportation costs to get this woman's dog back to her in Minnesota, so she doesn't even have to come down to Florida to get the dog. So well done. Nice work. Think about that. What are the odds of that happening? It starts with Motorworks Brewing putting pictures of adoptable dogs from Shelter Manatee on their cans. Some dogs get adopted. Great. And then someone in Minnesota happens to see the pictures of one of the dogs and says, wait a minute, that looks like my dog. And it is. And then she proves that that was her dog with the vet records, with pictures. And a nonprofit group said, don't worry about coming to Florida. We will send the dog back to you at our expense. Well done. It started with a wonderful beer, a wonderful act. And as I said, we've got a lot of prohibitionists and enemies of pleasure. They want to take away your rights to enjoy cigars. They want to take away your rights to enjoy spirits. But I will tell you, there are no more philanthropic companies than the spirit companies, this craft beer company, than cigar companies, and those people that enjoy cigars, cigar connoisseurs, and beer connoisseurs. They're more than happy to reach into their own pocket. The Democrats, oh, they point at everyone else. But when it comes to you, when it comes to them, they don't go into their pockets. But we, as cigar connoisseurs, we're philanthropic. We have absolutely no problem. So kudos, bravo to Motorworks Brewing for coming up with this program, not only adopting dogs, but reunited a long-lost dog with her owner. Bravo.
Check out the all-new CigarDave.com. Get info on the cigars and libations the General enjoys during the show. Get recipes from the Pooch Pit and drink cocktails, too. You can listen to the show on our 24/7 stream or download the latest podcast to listen to anytime. Get it all at CigarDave.com.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning, tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
With the new year, it's a great time to lose 10 pounds, paint the house, and finally clean out the garage.
Honey, why don't you start by getting the car serviced at Premier Oil Change? They're super fast and convenient. You get to wait in the car with free Wi-Fi and a free beverage. Plus, they have a rewards program where we can earn points that we can put towards free oil changes and services. You don't even have to make an appointment.
Wow, honey, that sounds a lot better than cleaning out the garage.
At Premier Oil Change, we strive for convenience. Our comprehensive 30-point certified service will ensure you with the peace of mind that your vehicle is in top operating condition. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that is service, and we're quick. Easy in, easy out. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Visit us on Facebook or Instagram. Premier Oil is located in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palo Cedro or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you get a free car wash. Visit us today. Home with a friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palocedrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
14-time Grammy winner Ricky Skaggs will be at the historic Cascade Theater on March 8th. The Country Music Hall of Famer and Bluegrass Wunderkind is touring with his band Kentucky Thunder and will be performing live at the Cascade. Shine on me. Don't miss this iconic performance on March 8th. Tickets at CascadeTheater.org or 243-8877.
The Redding Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to RedingCivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to RedingCivic.com to learn more.
...100% USDA certified alpha male.
With zero trace of wussification.
It's the General Cigar Dave.
Quick follow-up to our story about Motorworks Brewing coming up with that great program with their beer and putting shelter dogs on the cans of beer. Getting several dogs adopted and reuniting a long-lost dog with their owner from Florida to Minnesota, but a man attempts to register beer as his emotional support animal. Can't make this up. A Brooklyn man registered an unusual item as an emotional support animal, beer. Unfortunately, sources say that even with certification, the beer-loving man's plan won't work. Floyd Hayes filed the unusual registration with the USA Service Dog Registration website. He told the news outlet that he just wants to see if it will work. He says, I travel from upstate to Brooklyn a lot, and on the bus they say it's a federal crime to smoke or have an alcoholic beverage unless by prior written consent. And I always wondered where you get that consent. So he figured, I'm going to have beer acknowledged as his emotional support dog. However, a worker for the registration service spoke with him and said that that is not going to work. There is no legal merit. Nice try, but sorry. Now, you can name your dog beer, but you can't actually say a can of beer is an emotional support dog.
Did you see the story out of Ohio? A medical board committee says that Browns and Bengals fandom is not enough to use medical marijuana.
It should be. Listen, it should be harder than medical marijuana. They should give them whatever hard drugs they need. As a long-suffering Bills fan, trust me, I get it. Between the Browns and the Bengals, there's probably many fans that have contemplated suicide after watching. I mean, Sergeant Steve, you're a longtime Bengals fan, and unfortunately, you've got probably one of the worst owners next to the Haslams in Cleveland. But I think the Haslams are on the bottom.
Haslam's the worst owner by far.
Oh, they're definitely worse. There's no doubt about it. They're definitely worse. No question about it. But, yes, have you applied for that, by the way, for medicinal marijuana?
I have not. There was a petition going on, but the medical board denied it. So it's not a verified excuse or reason to use medical marijuana in Ohio.
It's not too late. Let's see how they do this season. Listen, if the first-round draft choice, if that great quarterback decides to stiff Cleveland and not show up, everyone is going to be jumping off the ledge in Cincinnati. No ifs, ands, or buts. Joe Burrow, he doesn't show up. He just says he pulls an Eli Manning. Let me tell you, there's going to be mass suicides in Cincinnati.
I love the narrative, though, that Cincinnati is such a bad team that Joe Burrow should skip it. Cincinnati's been to the playoffs 5 times in the last 10 years.
Yeah, they made the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
haven't won any games.
They're not Cleveland. They're not the Jets. They're not the Dolphins. I mean, those are worse teams, and yet it's Cincinnati's going to ruin somebody. Look at their all pro quarterbacks they've had in their history with the franchise. Ken Anderson and Boomer Esiason.
Boomer, yeah.
And Greg Cook was, had he not been hurt, would have been as well.
Yep.
But
no doubt about it. Well, the question is this coach out there. Is your coach the guy?
That's the big question. Is Zach Taylor, who you know was quarterback coach in L.A. for Jared Goff, but is he good enough? I don't know.
You're going to find out. Well, a very happy birthday to XO Tim. His birthday coming up this Thursday, February 27th. Extending a very happy birthday to XO Tim. Enjoy the day, and I'm sure he'll enjoy some fine cigars as well as some fine libations in the XO Tim lounge. So happy birthday, XO Tim. Let's talk about one of my favorite people, Greta Thunberg. Little Greta. Greta. Little climate change Greta. In fact, every time I see her or I hear her, there's only one thing I can think of. Sergeant Steve,
how dare you?
Hit it one more time.
How dare you?
How dare you? How dare you all?
How dare you?
You adults have destroyed the world for us. You invented the car and the airplane. How dare you all? Well, Greta Thunberg, Miss Teenage Climate Activist, the puppet of her parents and all the other people that essentially want to take advantage of her, has been nominated for the 2020 Nobel Peace Prize by two Swedish lawmakers. And I believe the Nobel Peace Prize comes not only with a $1 million prize, but with Swedish meatballs. Yeah, I'm going to have some Swedish meatballs as well. Two members of Sweden's left party said 17-year-old Greta Thunberg has worked hard to make politicians open their eyes to the climate crisis. And she said, and they said, her work reducing our emissions, complying with the Paris Agreement, is therefore also an act of making peace. Well, I find it interesting that little Greta Thunberg loves to point her finger at the United States because President Trump smartly withdrew from the Paris Climate Change Accords in June 2017, yet doesn't go after China. That doesn't have to do anything for, I think, 10, 15 years, who's got more pollution than any other country, I think, besides India. So tell me, little Greta, how dare China? How dare they pollute, and how dare you? How dare you not go after them? So please, stuff it.
How dare you?
That's right. Now, I did get a kick that celebrities, after she was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, celebrities praised Brave Greta. They call her so brave. So brave. Piper Perabo. George Takei. Oh, my. Rosanna Arquette offered their congratulations, saying the recognition was uplifting. Well deserved. Oh, please. Please. Actor, former Star Trek actor George Takei. Oh, my. Tweeted that Thunberg's haters can go suck an iceberg. Oh, brother. Another piece of work. He said in a tweet, I'm very happy. Oh, my. There are Gretas out there to keep us honest and keep the pressure on. The haters can go suck an iceberg if there are any left. Boy, talk about a little melodramatic. Please. And Rosanna Arquette, Pulp Fiction actress, tweeted, Greta Thunberg, nominated for Nobel Prize. She's galvanized a movement around the world to wake people up to climate change. It's real. Those of us who love our Earth love, honor this magnificent young woman. Really. Now, I do find it amazing that all these same actors and actresses, these celebrities, are still flying around in their private air transportation, their private planes, and their chauffeur-driven SUVs, while they're pointing the finger at everyone else saying, climate change is real. Need to do something about it. Here's another story about Greta Thunberg. Her family memoir is being launched. Greta Thunberg's life story and that of her family is raw and powerful, according to the publisher of a new book about the teenage Swedish climate warrior. The tome is ready for release next month. Comes at the same time Thunberg's younger sister, Greta Ehrman, takes the stage alongside her mother to launch her musical career. And the BBC readies production of a complete television appraisal of Greta's life work. Let's see. Here's the story of Greta Thunberg. She was born, and then approximately at 16 or 17 years, her parents started shoving her out in the public eye, taking advantage of her, even though she's got many mental issues. She's got Asperger's. I think she's got, there's a whole bunch of lists, depression, but yet they trot her out there as a little puppet. That's not a fair thing to do to somebody, to a 16 or 17-year-old, but they don't care. Why do they not care? Because it's all about the money. And when Greta, who you know is going to win the Nobel Peace Prize, gets that million-plus dollar check, you can then join me and say, it's all about the money. That's right. Add it up. Little Greta. But here's something interesting. You hear all these Democrat candidates talking about climate change. It's our existential threat. Should be our number one priority. We need to get off of carbon fuels and fossil fuels and put those executives of the oil companies in jail. For what? For producing a product that they all use every single day? Well, when Gallup conducted a poll asking Americans where climate change ranks, there are 18 different items that they categorized, that they asked. And they do this on a weekly basis. Climate change ranks 17th out of 18th place, just above dealing with global trade issues. That's number 18. Nobody cares. It's a small group of people. A small group of people that believe in wealth transfer that are perpetuating this climate change nonsense. And I love Joe Biden. We need to put oil executives in jail. We need to go after them. Yet, the last 3 months of 2019, he dropped $1 million on private jets, sparing no expense. No problem. Oh, by the way, Mayor Skippy? I called Mayor Pete Buttigieg Skippy, because that's what he looks like. Skippy. In fact, during the debate, I said, Skippy's up past his bedtime. It's a school night. He should be in bed by now. Little Skippy, a guy that can't even run a little crappy town of 100,000 people, now wants to run a country of 350 million people? He couldn't even take care of his own police force and the crime in South Bend, Indiana. And yet now he's the man that people say, oh, he'll be great to run the country. Please. Mayor Skippy would be a disaster as President Skippy. Not going to happen. But Skippy had no problem shelling out big bucks. He spent $750,000 on private charters. Oh, and let's talk about those warriors against climate change, Bernard Sanders and the fake Indian Pocahontas Warren. They are so alarmed about the existential threat that they keep talking about. We have an existential threat. The planet is burning up. We need to do something immediately. Fossil fuels are a problem. We need to go to electric cars immediately. They're so concerned about the existential climate change and fossil fuels that how did they get to Iowa and all the other campaign stops when they were going from Iowa to New Hampshire and out to Vegas? Did they take commercial airlines? No. No, 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 no. Remember, it's do as I say, not as I do. Bernard Sanders, private air transportation, going from D.C. right when the impeachment in the Senate, when they would conclude, I think on Sunday nights, or when they were totally concluded, got on an airplane. Now, a number of reporters asked Bernard Sanders, saying, now, Bernie, doesn't it make sense, all of you are going to go out to Iowa, doesn't it make sense to share a jet? And Bernard said, I believe it does. That would absolutely make sense. Yet, when the other campaigns talked to him about doing it, the Bernard Sanders campaign said, nothing doing. I'm going on my own private jet. And so did Elizabeth Warren. And they got video of Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, not coming out of her teepee, but coming out of her private jet on the tarmac in Iowa. And when they caught her, or maybe coming back from Iowa to Washington, when they caught her and she saw that there was a video, she hid behind and ducked under a few aides so nobody would see her. Please. We all know the truth. They all rail against you driving SUVs and driving big cars. Yet they have no problem traveling on private jets, in giant motorcades, living in big houses. I mean, Al Gore, Mr. Climate Change Warrior himself, 40 years ago, the Earth is going to have the flu. It's going to have the same flu that the upper respiratory infection with bronchitis that the General Cigar Dave had. We need to do something. This is 40 years ago, then 30 years ago, then 20, then 10. Now, oh, we only have 10 years. Same BS that they spewed 40 years ago, they're regurgitating now. But Al Gore travels by private jet. Al Gore travels by SUV. Al Gore has multiple homes, including a giant home in Tennessee that's, I think, 16,000 square feet that burns more fuel, more energy than 40 houses, 30 houses will burn in a year. Does he have a problem? No. But again, it's do as I say, not as I do. And let me give you a perfect example of hypocrisy. Oscar and Grammy-winning singer John Legend, who is a noted global climate change activist, big activist, multiple times, he has tweeted out saying, going against President Trump when he pulled out of the Paris Climate Change Agreement, going after President Trump being a climate change denier. September 17th, 2015, Legend tweets, we cannot elect a president who isn't serious about climate change. These guys disqualify themselves with this foolishness. In 2016, Legend posted a New York Times piece on his Twitter account on rising sea levels and wrote, shame on us if we elect a climate change denier. Seas are rising at faster rate in last 28 centuries. Yeah, right. And then last September, John Legend expresses support for little Greta Van Thunberg, her global climate strike. He says in a tweet on September 20th, 2019, young activists are challenging us to confront the realities of the climate crisis. Join me as I stand with Greta Thunberg as we strike for climate. Now, Mr. Climate Change Warrior, Mr. We've got a huge problem. You can't support these President Trump because he's a denier. Mr. Climate Change, Mr. Worried About Rising Sea Levels, Mr. Need to Do Something About Carbon Fuels. What did he do on Valentine's Day? Did he take his wife, model Chrissy Teigen? Did he get in the car, just go around the block? Did he get in his little electric-powered vehicle, or did they walk for a meal on Valentine's Day? What do I always tell you? Hypocrisy runs rampant with these people. These climate change people, these taxocrats, it's do as I say, not as I do. They'll wag their finger at you, but never listen to one iota of the things they spew. Do as I say, not as I do. rampant hypocrisy. Perfect example. On Valentine's Day, he and his wife, Chrissy Teigen, for their Valentine's Day date, they went out to dinner. Did he go to dinner around the corner? Did he go to dinner a few miles away? Nope. He went from Los Angeles to Napa Valley, 500 miles away, in a private jet to dine at the French Laundry restaurant in Yountville, California. Now, the French Laundry is owned by the same chef that owns Per Se in New York. I call it Per So-So. Biggest ripoff you'll ever see. It's like $450 for a 10-course meal, but every course is about half an ounce. I mean, literally, you got to go to a corned beef sandwich by the time you're done. So this clown, this little hypocritical bastard, John Legend, gets in an airplane, gets in a Challenger 300, burns more fuel on taxiing than 10 cars will in 2 days or a week, goes 500 miles from his house just for the night and comes back the same night to go eat dinner at an overpriced restaurant. And he documented his Valentine's Day trip in an Instagram story. And they show the couple on the way to the restaurant in their private jet. Now, please, this is the same son of a bitch that is pointing out President Trump and saying we can't elect a president that's not serious about climate change. He should disqualify himself. We've got rising sea levels. We can't elect a climate change denier. And by the way, the same rising sea levels that President Barack Obama talked about, that Miami and New York and L.A., everything's going to be underwater. He's so concerned about climate change and rising sea levels that he just plunked down $13 million on a Martha's Vineyard estate that sits at, you guessed it, sea level. So please, major hypocrisy. Whenever you hear one of these celebrities saying, we need to do something about climate change, and it's a crisis, and we need to do something now, and we need to go vegan, just remember they're hypocritical bastards. Screw them. He has no problem burning 3,000 gallons of fuel or 2,000 gallons of fuel to go out to dinner with his wife on Valentine's Day, but God forbid you want to drive an SUV or you want to live in a house that uses air conditioning. Remember, they're all hypocritical bastards. Screw them all. They're lying sons of bitches. The final and concluding segment of this edition of the Cigar Dave Show comes your way next.
The General is always on Twitter, delivering breaking news, giving you the latest intel on cigars, and battling the enemies of pleasure. Chat with the General now at Cigar Dave Show.
Hi, this is Rocky Patel. I'm here with my brother Nish and my cousin Nimish, and we're talking cigars. Guess what? They want me to vote on what my favorite cigar is. It's tough, but I'm going to go with the Decade. I love it. It's rich, decadent, and smooth.
Rocky, you know what? The Decade's a great cigar, but the 15th anniversary, that's the cigar. That celebrated your 15 years in business, and I got to tell you, it's my favorite.
You know what, Nish and Rocky, you both are wrong. The best cigar is Freedom by Rocky Patel. This cigar delivers a lot of spice, a lot of flavor, and in my opinion, it's the best cigar we make.
As usual, we can't agree. But guess what? There's a great cigar for everyone. I promise you, nobody works harder than we do to make you a great quality cigar. Come visit us at RockyPatel.com.
Surgeon General warning, cigars are not a safe alternative to cigarettes.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club has been en fuego, on fire with marvelous selections, and we continue that trend for February. We feature a full-flavored selection of Crown Head's unique artisanal quality cigars. First up, the Jericho Hill, dedicated to the man in black. Hello, I'm Johnny Cash. Jericho Hill, the first Nicaraguan cigar from Crown Heads. It's wrapped in a Mexican San Andrean Maduro wrapper. Rich, dark, delivers medium to full-flavored attitude. Then, we feature the La Imperiosa. Buckle up. It's a seriously full-flavored beauty. Ecuadorian Habano Oscuro wrapper ignites massive notes of pepper. And then we wrap it up with Juarez, inspired by Jericho Hill. But Juarez amps up the strength, delivering notes of spice and sweetness. $22.95 per month. You get three great cigars like the Crown Heads Full Flavored Sampler. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and join the Officers Club today.
Don't go anywhere. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. Just one more minute until Cigar Dave returns. Your five-star general is back in 5, 4, 3, 2. The general has just illuminated the No Pleasure Police sign. Enemies of pleasure may now return to their miserable lives.
And speaking of enemies of pleasure, Michael Gloomberg, there's a great site that we will post at CigarDave.com along with all the items we talked about. It's called MeetBloomberg.com. MeetBloomberg.com, and their slogan is Defend Freedom, Defeat Bloomberg. And they go through all the various items that Bloomberg tried to regulate or ban in New York City. I mean, a tax on your lifestyle, a tax on your community, a tax on your food, a tax on your privacy. The list goes on and on. It's definitely worth taking a look. Real quickly, I saw this. This could be the most incredible invention, amongst the greatest inventions ever made. A Quarter Pounder fan club has come up with a new line of McDonald's and Quarter Pounder swag, including candles that smell like the ingredients of a Quarter Pounder. According to a press release from McDonald's, the six-pack of candles includes the following scents: sesame seed bun, ketchup, pickle, cheese, onion, and the piece de resistance, 100% fresh beef. Now, here's what I'd like to have. How about a candle that smells like the entire Quarter Pounder? How about a candle that smells like the French fries? How about a candle that smells like a chocolate milkshake? How about a candle that smells like buffalo wings? These are essential items that every alpha male should have in their man cave, in addition to the real items, of course. I may have to buy one of these six-packs to report back to see if they're any good. All right. As always, we'll continue battling the enemies of pleasure and enjoying the alpha male good life unapologetically. Cigar Dave, the general, saying, Mayor Humidor, always be full. Mayor Cutter, always be sharp. Mayor Ashby, extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. And screw Michael Gloomberg. It's done for you, Mikey. Mini Mike, bye-bye.
That concludes today's live Cigar Dave show. Stay tuned as the replay will begin momentarily. Sit back, relax, and light up a cigar.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rhonda Rockstra. Bernie Sanders dominated Nevada's presidential caucuses Saturday to cement his status as the Democrats' national frontrunner.
The early calls on behalf of Senator Sanders are highlighting his nearly double-digit win in vote percentage, but the state's two-tiered proportional voting will determine how many of the state's 36 preferred delegates that Sanders may actually add to his column. If the margins hold, former Vice President Biden will claim a second-place finish ahead of next week's South Carolina primaries, where some polls show he has an advantage.
George Manzani reporting. Now it's on to South Carolina for the candidates next Saturday with a debate stop on Tuesday. Super Tuesday is March the 3rd. Four candidates are under consideration by President Trump to be the next director of national intelligence.
The president dismissed the acting U.S. intelligence chief this week and replaced him with Richard Grenell, who's also serving as U.S. ambassador to Germany. But that appointment is temporary. Mr. Trump says he's considering four candidates and that he'll make a decision soon. However, one of the candidates says he's not interested in the job. GOP Congressman Doug Collins, who's running for the U.S. Senate, says it's a position he would not accept. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The pilot of a helicopter that crashed into a Southern California hillside, killing Kobe Bryant and eight others, was reprimanded 5 years ago for flying without permission into busy airspace near LAX International Airport while he had reduced visibility. That according to an FAA enforcement record. South Korea and China both reported a rise in new virus cases Sunday as the South Korean prime minister warned the fast-spreading outbreak linked to a local church and a hospital in the country's southeast had entered a, quote, more grave stage. And Japanese Emperor Naruhito marking his 60th birthday, offering his sympathy to those affected by the new virus. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Smashing Rocker here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain, too. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
Israeli police said officers shot and killed a man after he allegedly tried to stab a soldier outside Jerusalem's old city.
The man was not immediately identified, but is believed to have been a Palestinian. Israeli medics said a 42-year-old woman was slightly wounded in the leg when shots were fired at the assailant. Israeli police spokesman Mickey Rosenfeld said the attacker was armed with a knife and approached an officer who responded to the attack. The old city is a home to holy sites sacred to Jews, Christians and Muslims, including the flashpoint compound known as the Al-Aqsa Mosque to Muslims and the Temple Mount to Jews. I'm Zaria Shakili.
On this date, 1909, the Great White Fleet, the naval task force sent on a round-the-world voyage by President Theodore Roosevelt, returned home after more than a year at sea. You can check out more breaking news, read the best analysis. They're both at townhall.com. A controversial fashion show at a school in New York City that reminded some of blackface has spawned an investigation.
The Fashion Institute of Technology, known as FIT, is apologizing for a show by an alum from China where models wore gigantic fake bright red lips and oversized black ears that many on social media likened to blackface and monkey ears. The school, which is part of the State University of New York, says it will examine what led up to the February 7th event. The college's dean of the School of Graduate Studies and the chair of the MFA Fashion Design Department were placed on administrative leave pending the investigation. Julie Walker, New York.
Meanwhile, runway shows are continuing on the fourth day of the Milan Fashion Week as the itinerant fashion crowd took an analytical attitude toward the cases of the new virus from China clustered not far in Italy. More at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Show will begin in 1 minute. The Brian Kilmeade Show will begin in 30 seconds. Enjoy. News Radio Studios in New York City. Information you want. Truth you demand. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Brian Kilmeade here. Thanks so much for listening on a beautiful Monday, which is, promises to be an exciting week. We got a debate on Wednesday, a caucus on Saturday, then off to South Carolina, and then March 3rd, Super Tuesday. It's going to be fun, as well as everything else going on in the world. Some scary, some night. It's an exciting week for us here on the Brian Kilmeade Show. We'll welcome in two more major stations in Lynchburg, Virginia, is where we have WLNI 105.9. Lynchburg's news and information station is now airing all 3 hours of our show. We're thrilled with that. As in Charlottesville, Virginia, WCHV 107.5 FM and AM 1260, they're going to be carrying our show, and we are privileged to be in Charlottesville. I spend so much of my time researching my books as well as soccer tournaments. It would be great to have a home base, so maybe in between games, I can squeeze in the show. So rather than just taking off, we have a great guest, Ed Rollins, at the bottom of the hour. Susan Page is getting ready now here at the top of the hour. So let me get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
The situation is very grave, in part because, as you say, China was lying from the beginning and they're still lying today, and also because there are so many unknowns about this virus.
Wow, the coronavirus, according to Tom Cotton, is pretty bad. It's a virtual economic halt now to the Chinese economy, and the industrialized world is also feeling the effect because we need their stuff. We'll look at the state of the virus and why the world is also getting sick.
Number two.
The attacks on me, from the way that I was removed to the FBI to the ultimate criminal investigation, I believe were designed to undermine my credibility as a potential witness, has just been one of the most sickening and demeaning experiences of my life.
Right. Doesn't sound like a guy who dodged a bullet, but it should, and that's how he should feel. Bill Barr's quest to bring law and order to the Department of Justice moves forward today. Barr will have to deal with the fallout from the Stone deal, the McCabe exoneration, and possible additional resignations, as well as President Trump's tweets.
Number one.
The part I object to is the billionaire being able to reach in his own pocket in order to finance their campaign.
He hasn't gone on the Sunday show since he announced. Instead, he's just running ads.
$60 billion can buy you a lot of advertising, but it can't erase your record.
That is Joe Biden. Everybody commenting on Bloomberg, because Bloomberg is surging and he's getting attacked from all angles. I bet you he can handle it, but I'm not sure he can handle his chief opponent, and that's his past. And joining us now to put it all in perspective is Susan Page. Susan, welcome back.
Hey, Brian. It's great to be with you.
Well, thanks for being here. Of course, you write with things on a daily basis. You also write great books, putting things in perspective. So we appreciate you being here. First off, Bloomberg, this whole thing is unprecedented, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. A former Republican, by the way, 78 years old, someone with, all kinds of things in his past that he's got to explain away, and yet it's hard not to take him very seriously as the potential Democratic presidential nominee.
Of course, Susan's book, The Matriarch, is fantastic. Barbara Bush and the Making of the American Dynasty. You got great access, as well as what you do on a regular basis as USA Today D.C. Bureau Chief. So, Susan, you're all over this. When people call, they have to, when you call, they have to give you time. What about some of the things that are popping up in Mike Bloomberg's past? His famous redlining, now infamous redlining remarks, basically blaming to a degree minorities for the 2008 collapse of the economy. And then you have his crass way in which he describes stop and frisk. Listen to what has emerged today from 2016. And we won't listen to all of it, but here's some of it from 2016 talking about farmers who I believe vote.
I could teach anybody, even people in this room, so no offense intended, to be a farmer. It's a process. You dig a hole, you put a seed in, you put dirt on top, add water, up comes the corn. Then we had 300, you could learn that. The information economy is fundamentally different because it's built around replacing people with technology. And the skill sets that you have to learn are how to think and analyze. And that is a whole degree level different. You have to have a different skill set. You have to have a lot more gray matter.
Fantastic, right? I mean, that's really winning over Iowans, you know, these horrible people in Ohio that farm and the Midwest, right?
Yeah, not many farmers in the New York City electorate, but a lot of farmers in the American electorate. I'm from Kansas myself. My mother grew up on a farm. My cousin farms that farm. And I can tell you, it is not that easy to be a successful farmer. And so this would be just one of the problems that Bloomberg is having with the kind of scrutiny of his past, scrutiny about treatment of women in his business practices, about stop and frisk and redlining attitudes when he was mayor of New York. And, you know, ordinarily, I think in a regular year, we would think this is disqualifying. There's no way he can be taken seriously. But there are two reasons he's being taken seriously this time. One is that he has a ton of dough. And the second is that Democrats are very focused on who can defeat Donald Trump. And if they think that Mike Bloomberg is a guy who can do that, they may be willing to overlook all of this.
Do you think it's to his advantage to get all the negative stuff out now? Do you think that he knew? He's so smart. He's got such an organization. He planned and plotted this forever. He's got 12 years experience as a politician, let alone his business. Do you think he wants this out now?
I think he would prefer that people would forget about the past, but given that that's not going to happen, yes, I think it's useful for him that he had a little bit of time to run enormous numbers of ads across the country, not get the kind of questioning that he would have gotten if he had run in the first four states that he decided to skip. It gives him a little bit of an advantage, I think, in having to deal with these stories now. But yes, I think if he's going to be the nominee, he doesn't want these kind of stories breaking in the fall. Better for him to deal with them in the spring.
Right. That was a devastating story. I don't know if you read in the Washington Post such detail about his business practices, some of the statements he made, the affidavits filed against him, the lawsuits for women in the workplace. And I was my jaw was on the ground because it didn't seem like gossip. I mean, it seemed like they did a lot of research on it, yet they dropped it on a Saturday, Susan.
Well, they did do a lot of research on it, but I don't think it's notable that they dropped. I think these days we publish stories as soon as they're ready. The kind of traditional news cycle that we used to worry about, that was pre-Trump. Now news breaks middle of the night, first thing in the morning, over the weekend, on a holiday.
The other thing I want to add is you said anyone who can beat Trump, that's fine. But there's another problem. Anyone who could beat Bernie. Can you tell me what your sources are telling you about the fact that Bernie Sanders is more than likely going to win Nevada and he's doubled his approval rating among blacks in South Carolina? What is the sense inside the Democratic circles?
I think it is hard for Democrats to deny that Bernie Sanders is now the front runner, that he supplanted Joe Biden, who's having a terrible time holding on. And yet Bernie Sanders does not really get support of more than 25% or 30% of the Democratic electorate. The thing that's benefiting Bernie Sanders now is that there are multiple candidates who are dividing up the moderate vote, and none of them really prevailing. And that is giving Bernie Sanders kind of a pathway to win. I mean, he won the popular vote in Iowa. He won in New Hampshire. He seems poised to win in Nevada. He's getting huge crowds out there, and that will give him a head of steam heading into South Carolina and then, of course, Super Tuesday when he'll be facing Michael Bloomberg.
So, in other words, you don't think there's a degree of panic? Do you think that that is overstated inside Democratic circles because Bernie Sanders doesn't really seem to, you know, he seems to represent a small portion, one of which I didn't think existed in the Democratic Party?
You know, I think that there are some – a panic seems a little strong to me. I'm sure there are some who are panicked. What I hear from Democrats is concern about a series of situations that seem to be raising questions about the direction of the party and also the competence of the party. And one of the things that really shook a lot of Democrats was the failure of the Iowa caucuses to go off in a smooth manner, the just collapse of that system. And concern now, if that happens again in Nevada at the end of this week, does that just make the whole Democratic Party look like they can't get their act together?
And it's a bad perception because I'm reading the story in Politico today. They did a big story about these caucus volunteers don't feel like they are ready. Three caucus volunteers described serious concerns about rush preparations for Saturday's caucus, including insufficient training for newly adopted electronic vote tally systems, confusing instruction on how to administer the caucuses. There's also unanswered questions about the security of internet connections at some 2,000 precinct sites that will transmit results in a central war room set up by the Nevada Democratic Party. That's not opinion. That's what these people have. This is what the reporting reveals from volunteers.
It's really remarkable since Nevada knew they were going to hold these caucuses, right? It's not a surprise. And they knew they were going to get a lot of attention. That's why they wanted to hold them, to get a lot of attention. So the idea that there are these serious concerns about whether the vote can be adequately and accurately counted and released in good time is very concerning. And really, it's perplexing. So this is not going to be helpful for Nevada Democrats or Democrats generally if things don't go well on Saturday.
And I don't want to let you go without talking about your book. And just real quick on the Bushes, I just admire the family so much. I really believe that 43 is going to be looked at much better. I've said this before to my listeners, in the future when you see what was on his plate over the last 8 years. And you see the classy way Jeb Bush has kept his powder dry, even though I know he's very angry at the president. The way they during the funerals, they made sure there was no problem with the Trumps and the Bushes during that time. And 43 won't even do an interview along the way. And he's got plenty of time to take some shots at the president, John Kelly style, in an interview that could come up. Could you describe the Bush family as you saw it in working on your book?
Well, they were classy, they were mature about the book because this was not an authorized biography. It was an independent work. They knew they weren't going to like every single thing I wrote about, but they were cooperative, and especially Barbara Bush was enormously cooperative, and I appreciated that. And I do think that the Bushes have a long history of service to the country. And part of that has been, I think, as you say, stepping back at this particular moment.
Do you think George P. has a bright future as land commissioner in Texas? I know he has the ambition. I had a chance to talk to him for something I did with my book, Sam Houston, The Alamo Avengers, just how they're revamping the Alamo area. What do you think?
I think he could. I think there are several members of his generation who are looking seriously at politics. Of course, he's been elected and reelected to statewide office in Texas. One of his cousins is running for Congress in
Houston. Pierce Bush? Yeah.
We could see a new generation of Bushes emerge. That's possible. We're watching. Will there be a new generation of Trumps, do you think?
Yes, I think that Don Jr. absolutely wants to run. I don't know what his pathway will be. It depends if his dad gets four more and how it ends, obviously, you know, because we look at Jeb Bush, people didn't have a favorable opinion enough in the Republican Party to use momentum from W. So I think that'll be my opinion. I think that Don really wants it. I think Eric could do without it. I think Ivanka has aspirations, but just an observer, but Don Jr. did not run from the fact that they were chanting 46 the other day. I know that would scare America, portions of it, and others would be enthralled by it. But, Susan, the last thing is this story in Drudge about Hillary being considered as a running mate should Bloomberg get the nomination. Your thoughts?
I think that is Unlikely. I think that story seemed like a little bit of mischief to me, because for one thing, Mike Bloomberg has other issues right in front of him before he thinks about a running mate. And while many Democrats feel a lot of loyalty to Hillary Clinton, who after all won the popular vote, there is very little appetite in the Democratic Party to nominate her again.
All right. She is Susan Page, USA Today bureau chief, author of The Matriarch, Barbara Bush, and The Making of an American Dynasty. Susan, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, Brian.
It's going to be a fun sprint to November. Susan Page, hopefully we'll talk to her again. Next is your turn, 1-866-408-7669. When we come back, I'll take your calls and welcome in one of the most astute political analysts in the country, Ed Rollins. He has seen all different types of Republican candidates, work with outsiders like Ross Perot, insiders like Ronald Reagan. He's seen people marginalize incumbents, ridicule their intellect and their policies, only to have them turn out to be one of the most successful. And that, of course, I'm talking about Ronald Reagan. Is Trump on the same trajectory? He has a super PAC for Donald Trump. And I can't wait to see what he has to say about all these things with William Barr and so much more. But next is your calls, 1-866-408-7669.
Newsmakers and newsbreakers, hear it first, only on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free, zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit, forhims.com/joy.
Hello, I'm Dr. Travis Stork. I recommend that patients taking statin drugs to lower their cholesterol consider taking Qnall CoQ10 supplements with their prescribed regimen. Statin drugs may lower CoQ10 levels, which is an important nutrient for heart health. Qnall CoQ10 has the number one cardiologist recommended form of CoQ10. Qnall is the brand I recommend considering with your statin medication.
Consult with your doctor. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
This is Fox on Justice. The courts are asked to get involved in pronoun disputes. Red Washburn is a professor of English and Women and Gender Studies at Kingsborough Community College in New York. Washburn is transgender and wishes to be referred to with the pronouns they or them. Washburn is suing in federal court, alleging school officials and colleagues use she and her and Amy, the name Washburn used before coming out as transgender. And also the school eliminated the gender studies curriculum. Washburn claims a hostile environment. In Portsmouth, Ohio, another college professor sued Shawnee State University for a different reason. Nicholas Merriweather claims he was reprimanded and given a written warning because he refused to use the requested pronouns when speaking to a transgender student. Merriweather said doing so would contradict his Christian beliefs and violate his rights of freedom of speech and religion. A judge dismissed that suit. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Heavy snow fell in Washington, D.C. the night before John F. Kennedy's inauguration, but thoughts of canceling the plans were overruled. On January 20th, 1961, he stood in the bitter cold on the steps of the Capitol and before a crowd of 20,000 was sworn in as the 35th President of the United States.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Fox's LEGO Masters judges Jamie Berard and Amy Corbett. In getting to know these LEGO experts, I asked what led them to this fun-filled career path of theirs.
So I got into the LEGO company because I was at a LEGO fan event showing off awesome amusement park rides. But now I've been in the company for 14 years.
I have a background in product design, but now I really have a focus on designing great toys for kids because it's just so much fun.
And as they judge competition week to week, I asked them to share the most epic LEGO creations they've ever made.
I got to work on a project with 3 million LEGO bricks in Manchester, New Hampshire, called at the Sea Science Center. It's a recreation of the Mills of Manchester, New Hampshire. It is the largest permanent minifigure scale installation in the world.
For me, the most epic has to be when I managed to get myself as a mini doll in one of the sets. So there's a little version of Amy in her ski suit in a ski cabin.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
Breaking news, unique opinions. Hear it all on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
He's trying to replace Biden, and he's succeeding in replacing Biden as the gaff king, the one with comments that are coming out, pointing out how insensitive this guy is. I'd be asking every Democrat running for office in 2020, if they're willing to state that they won't take any money from this racist candidate that's running it.
And that is John Sununu, former chief of staff, former governor, chief of staff of 41, Bush 41. And John Sununu was once governor of New Hampshire. And he said, I cannot believe some of the comments and some of the reporting on Mike Bloomberg and how he seems to be, he's going to be dealing under, he's going to be under fire for the first time. It'll be Wednesday night in that debate. He will not be on the docket until Super Tuesday. And it is a strategy we've never seen before, but he's been hit about his past comments, about his past policies, about his past business practices. And we haven't even touched his easygoing way in which he deals with China. It's their way or the highway, and he chose to go their way, but he has got a lot of money, and he was a Democrat, an independent, and a Republican, and he can't seem to apologize fast enough for all of it. Quick note, especially if you're from, I'm going to take calls at 45 after this hour, and if you're from Lynchburg or Charlottesville, listening on our two new stations, WLNI in Lynchburg or WCHV, last 15 minutes, and you're from that area, from our station, you'll get a signed book from me, Sam Houston, the Alamo Avengers, which I'll be live signing on February 25th at 1 o'clock. So I want everyone to go to BrianKilmeade.com and find out. So you get on, you'll get a book, and I can interact with you along the way. I've done this once before, but it was a long time ago, but I hear it's fantastic. So it'll be February 25th, live signing. And if you go to BrianKilmeade.com, you could sign up. You can get the book, and I could personalize it the way you want. This way, so many people are writing me saying, how do I get it signed? You've already done all your appearances. This is a way to do it. And that'll be great. So, meanwhile, let's go to the phones now. John, Alicia on 96.5 in Orlando. Hey, John.
Hey, Brian. Love your show. Hey, when you were talking about Hillary being a possible running mate for anybody, whether it's Bloomberg or anybody else, I think that would be the last bottle of gasoline on the Republicans' fire to get our president reelected, because I think she is such a polarizing figure that people are just seething, waiting to see her brought to justice. And I think that I just think that would be the catalyst to make sure Trump gets elected.
At first, it seems brilliant, and the more you think about it, it's really dumb.
I mean, it's insane that Hillary Clinton being on any ticket right now. I think that would ensure our president's reelection.
Yeah, that or Bernie Sanders. We'll have to see. So much has to play out. But if I was Trump, I would let all the Democrats kill Bloomberg. You don't have to yet. See if he survives. Then come up with your plan. And we know what that plan will be. Take him down. He can't use that Fox in debates. It'll be fun. 1-866-408-7669. Make sure you're on the other side of this break. But coming up next, insight from Ed Rollins.
Democracy 2020 coverage continues this election season on the Fox News Podcast Network.
We have the best economy we've ever had. With your help on November 3rd, we are going to defeat the radical socialist Democrats.
Subscribe and download now from Washington. The latest news from the nation's capital.
This victory here is the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
Dana Perino and Chris Steigerwald with I'll Tell You What has you covered. Who's leading, who's trailing, who's right, and who's wrong.
Thanks to you, a campaign that some said shouldn't be here at all has shown that we are here to stay.
Hit the trails with Brett Baer as the candidates take it to the streets. It's the campaign with Brett Baer.
I offer a record of getting things done.
And each morning, the Fox News Rundown takes you beyond the headlines on Democracy 2020. Subscribe, download, listen, stay informed at foxnewspodcasts.com.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile on Jason Biggs. Biggs leads the new Fox comedy Outmatched along with Maggie Lawson. The two play parents outmatched by their genius kids. The show is set in Atlantic City, New Jersey. So I asked what his AC boardwalk game of choice is.
Yeah, skee ball's my game. Although you know what we also did great at was the darts and balloons.
Biggs is from New Jersey and says his set feels right at home.
This to me, see, I grew up in New Jersey, as you know, and there were lots of basements, and we did a lot of, like, basement hangout situation, my high school friends.
Also on this set, a live studio audience each Friday.
The multi-camera sitcom is kind of a dying art in a way, I think, you know? It was my first TV job was actually for Fox, and it was a multi-camera sitcom with a live audience, and so that was my first introduction to television, and I loved it. And having the audience here just makes it, I mean, you get that instant feedback. It's an energy that's, I mean, Friday nights here are just rocking. It's so much fun.
Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
Democracy 2020 coverage continues this election season on the Fox News Podcast Network.
We have the best economy we've ever had. With your help on November 3rd, we are going to defeat the radical socialist Democrats.
Subscribe and download now from Washington. The latest news from the nation's capital.
This victory here is the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
Dana Perino and Chris Steigerwald with I'll Tell You What has you covered. Who's leading, who's trailing, who's right, and who's wrong.
Thanks to you, a campaign that some said shouldn't be here at all has shown that we are here to stay.
Hit the trails with Brett Baer as the candidates take it to the streets. It's the campaign with Brett Baer.
I offer a record of getting things done.
And each morning, the Fox News Rundown takes you beyond the headlines on Democracy 2020. Subscribe, download, listen, stay informed at foxnewspodcasts.com.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1969.
We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit, reaching with magnificent precision for the moon, but falling into raucous discord on Earth.
I have decided to order the immediate redeployment from Vietnam of the division equivalent of approximately 25,000 men.
At the inquest, I responded as completely and as truthfully as I could to the questions that were put to me by the judge as well as the district attorney.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. I'm going to step off the land now. It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
This is the largest group of people ever assembled in one place.
Good morning.
What we have in mind is breakfast in bed for $400,000.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk. Bonus track with Laura Ingle.
Taking you deep inside the music. Just when you thought you had heard all the reasons why Queen guitarist Brian May is awesome, he's also now starring in another supporting role, that of designing a crazy little thing called a sports bra for women. As May proves, there's truly no end to his talents. The rock icon is selling the official BMG sports bra, which he personally designed on his Brian May Guitars website in 5 sizes with a rockin' design featuring a variety of guitars, including, of course, his fabled Red Special. His website touts that the activewear salutes the entire range of Brian May guitars with a bright, bold design prominently featuring the united colors of BMG because it doesn't have to be red to be special. And men, no need to feel left out. As part of the clothing line, Brian May has also launched a shirt and waistcoat adorned with the same guitar design. Laura Ingle, Fox News.
If you're interested in it, Brian's talking about it. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
How has the right to pursue happiness changed your life?
Choices are sacred, and I still have choices because I live in a country that gives me the right to choose to disagree or agree.
That was Gretchen Wilson talking to John Rich on his brand new series on Fox Nation, which you're watching this show on right now on Fox Nation. We stream live all 3 hours, and John Rich is in New York in the studio. John, how are you?
Brian, I'm sitting in your chair, buddy. I like it. Nice chair.
It's a feeling of power, isn't it?
I know how you feel now, why you walk with such swagger
right.
all the time.
And why I just don't take no for an answer because I'm so powerful, everyone's afraid to say no to me. Mike Bloomberg?
Yeah, that's it. No, thanks for having me on, man. It's good to be on with you again.
So, John, as a country music guy, do you worry about being labeled too much of a news guy now? Now that you have your own series, we watch you on The Five, watch you all over the channel.
No, man, I look at it as just another way to, entertain people and talk about things that I care about, maybe that I can't get across in a song. We can talk about it, too. You know, the show The Pursuit, I live that. I live that story. You know, we all have the right to pursue happiness in this country. I've done that with my life. I'm a high school graduate. Nothing fancy, you know, grew up out in Amarillo, Texas in a double-wide trailer. But my dad, my grandmother, everybody always told me, John, don't limit yourself. Work as hard as you can. Dream as big as you can. We live in America. Consider yourself one of the lucky ones. That's what this show celebrates.
So you'll go and talk to successful entrepreneurs, business people, entertainers, whoever, and talk about the pursuit of their happiness and their success.
Yeah, some of them are people that you know very well, like Winona and Gretchen Wilson. And some of them are guys like Ronnie Barrett, who a lot of people don't necessarily know who he is, but he invented the Barrett 50 cal, which is a rifle system that pushed the Taliban back a mile. I mean, he invented it in his garage and had to double mortgage his house. And just these incredible stories of people that go after the American dream. It's like I say, we're not guaranteed the right to be happy, Brian. We're guaranteed the right to pursue happiness. So one thing Americans have that nobody else has in the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the pursuit of that success. Enjoy the process. Let's talk about your process a little. Your first big break, was it hooking up with Lone Star?
Well, I'd say my first big break was probably my dad giving me a guitar when I was 7 years old. You know?
Really? Dude, was he a musician?
Yeah, so my dad's a preacher, but he's also a really good singer, and he plays guitar and preached in small churches. So he would not only preach but lead the singing, as we say, in Texas as well. So I grew up watching him do that. He had 4 different jobs outside of being a preacher because he had 4 kids, and preaching wasn't going to be enough. And one of his extra jobs was giving guitar lessons at our local music store. And man, I picked up off of him, and at 7 years old, he gave me his guitar because he couldn't afford a new one, so he gave me his. And that really gave me the confidence to go forward and try to get good at music. And, yeah, I think landing with the guys in Lone Star, I was 18, 19 years old. I decided not to go to college, instead go on the road and play Holiday Inn lounges all over North America, which made my parents so happy. My dad was probably going, why did I ever give him that guitar? But, you know, that led to one thing and the next thing, and you just work hard and take advantage of your next opportunity.
Right, and that's just it, especially in your business, sitting over at Nashville. Your house is literally on a hill. It's like no other house you've ever been to. I've been lucky enough to be in there, and you did tell me to get out because I did not want to leave. And you've had my family there, which they still talk about today, and you built a stage. So, like, you, I would actually say your dreams have come true, and you're a guy that appreciates his success. How important was it that you had to work your way to there, and you remember the Holiday Inns, and you don't forget that?
It's everything. I don't think anybody that's ever really succeeded at something big that they were going for got there just down this easy path. I mean, the struggles, the obstacles, that's where you learn how to handle success should you ever get your hands on it. You know, I'm still going for stuff, Brian. I've done well in music, but you know me, I'm juking, jiving out there, pushing the limits of what I'm capable of doing, trying to exhaust my potential. And Redneck Riviera is one of those things that people go, why are you doing that? I go, because it's something I've always wanted to do. I don't know how to do it, so I'm going to jump in and see if I can figure it out. I think that's the attitude that goes along with being an American. If you want to do something, then by golly, go do it, or do the best you can trying to get it done.
So, I mean, you have your you have the best place, I believe, on Broadway in Nashville. You also have your clothing line. You gave me boots, and I do not look natural in boots. And even though your boots are great, I had the wrong jeans. So I had to tuck my jeans into my boots, and you did it because you wanted somebody else to feel ridiculous. And I walked down the street with them, and that was – I'm still not over that.
If it's good enough for Brian, by golly, it's good enough for John Rich. We look like a couple of Hank Williams Jr.'s walking down Broadway. That was an awesome day.
Right. I don't think he's speaking to us right now. I think he's a little mad at Fox and Friends, I'm pretty sure. So would you also have your whiskey? So you had your bar. So you realized early, which so many artists don't, that even though you have this craft and you have this vision and you with your songs and you want to change the world, there's also a practical side to you with, I have to be solvent in business. I can't rely on writing the next hit. Where did that come from?
Well, probably kids, your family. You know, I think that's the root of everything that I do. I know it is for you as well. Why do you work that hard? Why do you constantly stretch your capabilities? Because, number one, I want my kids to be taken care of. But number two, I want them to look at their dad and go, man, dad could have just stopped. He could have slowed down. But no, he didn't. He kept pushing forward and challenging himself and trying to be an example to us, an example to other people. Guys, we live in America. You woke up in America today. Sky's the limit. Go for it. Brian, think of all the billions of people in the world that woke up this morning around this planet that have the same amount of talent, drive, passion, intellect, everything it takes to make it. But because of where they live, they're not allowed to exhaust their potential. It's terrible. But we are. That's why we have to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. And one thing is also clear. You showed that entrepreneur spirit on The Apprentice. You got to know the president. What years were that? What did you notice about businessman Donald Trump?
Well, that was 2011, so I went on the show playing for the kids at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis. My goal was to raise $1 million, and when it was all over, it was $1.4 million, and I won the show. Yeah, I got to know the president. Who knew I was hanging out with the president? But I will say he leaned down into my ear when I won and said, did you hear him thinking about running for president? I said, yes, sir. He goes, what do you think? I go, why the hell not? He goes, exactly, why the hell not? Of course, that was 2011. He didn't do it that next time. But, you know, his kids are some of the best people I've met. Eric and I have done tons of St. Jude events together. I think your kids are probably one of the best resumes a guy could have.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always said that. You know, regardless of what you think of him, you got to meet his kids. And if, plus, a divorce situation, you don't know. And it was a public divorce. You don't know how it's going to affect them. I would say so far, so great. Here's a little of the president at a place you can remember. He's down south. You're from Texas. And most of the people that buy, originally, most people buying your albums were in the south, but now it's across the country. Country music has expanded. It's now mainstream in every way, but no one can tell you that. Here's the president at Daytona yesterday.
Daytona International Speedway, we love our country, and it's truly an honor to be with all of you at the great American race. Gentlemen, start your engines.
What did you think of that scene? I don't know if you had a chance to see 100,000 people cheer Air Force One and then him.
Oh, I saw it. I thought it was incredible. And, you know, 100,000 people sitting out there, a lot of those people got their taxes lowered since he's been president. A lot of those people got their jobs back or got a new job since he's been president. I think there's a lot of people, whether you're left or right, probably appreciate the fact that the economy is doing great. And when you see 100,000 people at a race, you know they're feeling good about it.
Right. And, John, since you are friendly with Trump, since you're on our network a lot, I guess some people in your business are not. Especially the next generation of country music stars, they say. Have you lost friendships because of it?
I haven't lost any friendships, but I think one important thing, for instance, my show, The Pursuit, what I focus on is what we have in common, which is the right to pursue happiness. So any artist in Nashville is only in this position they're in because they have the right to pursue happiness. And I've actually interviewed a lot of people, Brian, on The Pursuit that are liberals that do not support the president, but we are friends, we work together, we respect each other because they work hard, I work hard, and we know we do that under the umbrella of the red, white, and blue, and that's what we have in common. So that's what I try to focus on.
So who are the people on this season?
Well, Wynonna Judd, Gretchen Wilson, Ronnie Barrett is on there, Noah Galloway. So he's a veteran, lost his left arm and left leg in Iraq, went on to be the only double amputee in history on the cover of Men's Health magazine. He was on Dancing with the Stars, went 10 weeks in. You know, I sat him down and talked about the day he got hit by a roadside bomb, and 5 years after that, it took him to pull out of that mental state that he was in, and then went on to just do incredible things and still is. This show is meant to inspire people. It's meant to be entertaining. Brandon Slay, gold medalist wrestler in the 2000 Olympics. He's a kid I actually went to elementary school with in Amarillo, if you can believe that. We were in the same class together. So this show has a lot of connectivity, and I think a lot of Americans are going to gain great pride from watching it.
So I'm watching over the weekend, and I thought about you because You really care. If your kid has a Little League game, you'll leave an event at night and you'll fly back in order to get there in time. You have the wherewithal. You have the earned income to allow you to do that. And then when you see that Kobe Bryant was so involved with his kids and youth basketball and his academy, we don't know the circumstances, but a helicopter, I'm going to get to that game somehow. Did that strike home more than most people for you?
It struck home in a big way because you're right. I got two sons. They're 8 and 10, Cash and Colt, and they play baseball and basketball. And, you know, I've said this to a lot of people that I know that work a lot. I'm like, brother, sister, listen here. If you got kids, you'll have more days to work. You won't have more basketball games. You won't have more baseball games in Little League. Take advantage of those. Don't miss those, you know. And I think my dad told me that because he worked all the time. So I go out of my way to not miss those games. Those are the things you can't get back. And your family needs to know they're more important than your job.
But sometimes you got to listen to the pilot. Maybe the pilot said, hey, it's too foggy. Do you ever get like that?
I've been in some situations where I went, okay, keep it on the ground. And then you FaceTime and go, guys, I'm sorry, there's a thunderstorm in Charlotte or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And you miss it. But I think even trying to be there matters to your kids and to your wife, to your family. So, you know, be a good family guy, be a good family woman first. And I think if you take care of that, everything else falls in line.
All right, John. So thanks so much for this moment, for these 10 minutes. You've been in my chair, and you finally felt like an achiever.
Well,
what was that like?
I'm chewing gum right now, so I'm going to leave a little present for you underneath the desk.
No, you know I hate gum chewing, right?
That's I've my been thing. Chewing it the whole time.
Have
just,
you really?
Just for you. Just
Eric
for you.
And Pete, how did you let that happen?
I'm going to put this piece of gum right underneath your console. It'll be waiting for you.
You better not. I mean, that's the main thing. That's why Walt Disney doesn't allow gum chewing. He stepped in gum, and he said, no gum will be sold.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Your desk is great. Hey, and thanks for all the hard work you do. And I love your show on Fox Nation, too, man. What a great historic analysis of all those places.
Thanks a lot. What Made America Great? And now you can watch In Pursuit. And it is on. Go to download the app right now. Get it. And you will not regret it, because not only do you have a lot of live programming like this show and a lot of live programming coming out on a regular basis, but you also have the tape show. So especially when you're on flights, you get to watch one after another. Binge John Rich. Thanks, John.
Take advantage of it. Thanks, buddy.
You got it. Back with your calls in just a moment.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hello, I'm Dr. Travis Stork. I want to tell you about one of my favorite supplements that I take every day, Qnol Turmeric. Qnol Turmeric may help with healthy joints and inflammation support. Unlike many regular turmeric supplements, Qnol's soluble formula offers superior absorption, which is very important to get more of the full benefits of turmeric. Qnol Turmeric is the brand I trust.
Consult with your doctor. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A 91-year-old who loves being comfortable when he works out at the gym makes today's Dean's List. Lloyd Black of Alabama has gone viral for his workout attire of overalls, but it's the comfy outfit that keeps him going. Lloyd decided to get a gym membership after struggling to do chores around the house. General Manager Ashley Seaman of Anytime Fitness says Mr. Black has been showing tremendous progress over the last year, and he comes faithfully 3 times a week, if not more. Other people at the gym that see him say they are amazed by his work ethic and love his non-traditional workout clothes. Lloyd says the reason he wears overalls is simple. He says he doesn't have much hips. If he gets too active, he has trouble keeping his pants up. He hopes this might inspire more people to get to the gym, even if they do, while wearing overalls. Lloyd, you're an inspiration. Keep up the good work, and we love your overalls. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. It takes more than 20,000 genes to carry our human genetic code. Researchers have located 102 genes that are connected to autism. In what's described as a landmark study, researchers at Mount Sinai in New York sifted through tens of thousands of genetic samples to find these genes. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, around 1 out of 59 children are identified with an autism spectrum disorder, with symptoms that can range from mild, like problems like making eye contact, to severe, like difficulty communicating and aggressive behavior. Writing in the journal Cell, researchers say they've discovered autism is much more complex than they thought, but they hope the identification of these genes will give new understanding into what causes autism. They stress it has nothing to do with vaccines and hopefully will lead to new treatments. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
But of course, there can be only be one MVP tonight, and it's my pleasure to present the first time ever Kobe Bryant All-Star MVP Award to Kawhi Leonard.
And you have in your hands something nobody else has, and that's an MVP All-Star Game trophy. with the name Kobe Bryant on it. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot to me. You know, words can't even explain. Just making this the first Kobe Bryant MVP trophy. You know, I want to thank Kobe for everything he done for me, all the long talks and workouts. You know, thank you. This one for him.
So Kawhi Leonard, understated by trade, and the MVP of the NBA Finals last year, goes over to Clippers and wins the NBA All-Star Game. The All-Star Game was kind of unique in that it was interesting at the end, and I just give them, the NBA, so much credit because they had a timeless fourth quarter. They just had to reach a certain threshold after three quarters, and they figured out whoever was the quickest to get to, I believe, 150 points was the winner, and both teams wanted to win. There was money at stake, money to charity. So these All-Star games, which have been really a colossal waste of time. The players don't want to get hurt. The Pro Bowl in football is terrible. The players don't want to get hurt, and they also don't want to look bad, so they don't play any defense. But this is a little different because each team, $100,000 at stake, charity was at stake, and then, of course, they keep the shot clock, but they shut down the overall clock and just have you get a point threshold. Let's go out to Nathan, listening on WLVA in Lynchburg, Virginia. You're our first call, Nathan, from our brand new station. Thanks so much.
Hey, listening to you through WLNI 105.9.
Okay.
Thank you so much for doing that interview this morning with Larry and with him introducing you in the new time slot. Let me just say I really respect you and appreciate the fact that you are going to be part of our community now, because we have been fighting liberalism, and the Republicans in our area dropped the ball in the last elections, and now the whole state of Virginia went liberal. And I just appreciate your voice and your belief system, and I welcome you to the neighborhood, and I look forward to talking to you. But I would ask you one favor. Is there anything you can do for Virginia? Because we've got an uphill battle that is of our own doing. With Northam and his associates, they are basically running bills through the House and Senate because they're both controlled by the Democrats. Is there, besides the local elections, which we do have plans here in Lynchburg to replace at least three city council members with good conservative voices, because we are tired of not heard.
Well, it's Mike Bloomberg, isn't it? Mike Bloomberg poured money into your state elections, and it really flipped the state houses. But the assault weapon ban did not go through, right? Governor Northam, am I right? He tried to put an assault weapon ban?
It went to the House, and it hasn't gone to the Senate yet. And there's thank God we have some strong conservative voices who stand up for the Constitution, the First Amendment, and the Second Amendment. But Northam is relentless, and he's got like 60 days of passing all these crazy bills, whatever he wants to do, raising the taxes, doing all sorts of stuff. Even this area is mostly sanctuary Second Amendment. I've been to Richmond for the rally, and let me tell you, that was the best rally I've ever been to in my life.
What rally was that? For the president?
No, the Richmond rally where we went for the Second Amendment.
Oh, for the guns.
Gun rights.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah. We picked up the garbage afterwards. That's how conservative and understanding of our community we were. You know what I mean?
You know what you got? The best thing to go for you is to see how all this stuff fails. Once it fails, once they realize there's no constituency for it and it's not the American way, my hope is people of Virginia, the people of Chicago, the people of New York, people of Los Angeles, San Francisco, realize your lawmakers are doing something that is not in your best interest, party aside. My hope is this state house and that election sobers everybody up in Virginia. Thanks so much for the call.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Now, From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
When Richard Nixon resigned the presidency on August 9, 1974, Vice President Gerald Ford took the oath of office administered by Chief Justice Warren Burger in the East Room of the White House.
Our great republic is a government of laws and not of men. Here, the people rule, but there is a higher power. By whatever name, we honor him, who ordains not only righteousness but love, not only justice but mercy. As we bind up the internal wounds of Watergate, more painful and more poisonous than those of foreign wars, let us restore the golden rule to our political process, and let brotherly love purge our hearts of suspicion and of hate.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rhonda Rockstrom. As Bernie Sanders celebrates a convincing win in Nevada Saturday, the rest of the remaining candidates are seeking any possible momentum toward the upcoming South Carolina primary next Saturday and Super Tuesday in March 3rd.
In addition to Senator Sanders' resounding margin over the presumptive second-place finisher Joe Biden, the remaining four in the Nevada caucus race are Pete Buttigieg, Elizabeth Warren, Tom Steyer, and Amy Klobuchar. If the margins hold, of the four, only Buttigieg would meet the 15% threshold to qualify for any delegates toward the 1990 required for a first ballot convention nomination. The others in Nevada will be shut out. George Bonzani reporting.
Meanwhile, the candidates will square off again with another debate on Tuesday. Tragedy in Southern California after a bus veers off Interstate 15 north of San Diego flipped, killing three people, injuring 18 others Saturday morning. President Trump making final preparations before taking off on a trip to India to meet with Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Mr. and Mrs. Trump expected to visit Ahmedabad and Delhi during their two-day visit. He'll be back in the U.S. Tuesday ahead of another campaign rally in North Charleston, South Carolina, Friday night before Saturday's Palmetto State primary. A Southern California man charged with bilking nearly $150 million out of 70,000 investors worldwide through a phony currency scheme has agreed to enter a guilty plea to federal charges.
The U.S. Attorney's Office says Stephen Chen of Bradbury has agreed to plead guilty to conspiracy and tax evasion. He could face up to 10 years in prison. Prosecutors say Chen ran a company out of Arcadia, California that sold a phony digital currency, supposedly backed by amber and precious gems from mines the firm owned in several countries. Authorities say the mines didn't exist either.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? Did you know in just a few minutes you can find the best price from up to 10 price competitive companies for free? You can with SelectQuote. For example, George is 39. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $22 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-607-3551. That's 800-607-3551. 800-607-3551. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Ryanair Chief Executive Michael O'Leary is facing criticism for suggesting Muslim men should be singled out for extra security at airports.
The boss of the Irish budget carrier told Saturday's Times of London that families with young children shouldn't be subjected to airport security checks because there is zero chance of them being bombers. He said terrorists will generally be males of a Muslim persuasion. The Muslim Council of Britain called the comments racist and discriminatory. Talmama, a charity that monitors hate incidents against Muslims, said O'Leary's flippant comments could harm Ryanair's business. O'Leary has a history of provocative remarks that keep Ryanair's name in the headlines. I'm Zaria Shakili, in London.
Wells Fargo's agreed to pay $3 billion, that is, to settle criminal and civil investigations into a long-running practice where company employees open millions of unauthorized bank accounts. More news at townhall.com. He's credited with creating such computer concepts as cut, copy, and paste. Larry Tesler has died at the age of 74.
He made using computers easier for generations as a proponent and pioneer of what he called modeless editing. That meant a user wouldn't have to use a keyboard to switch between modes to write and edit. Tesler was born in New York and attended Stanford University, where he received a degree in mathematics in 1965. In 1973, he joined Xerox's Palo Alto Research Center, a division of the copier company that worked on creating computer products. There he pioneered concepts that helped make computers more user-friendly. Patrick Frost reporting.
Do you still believe in miracles? Saturday marked exactly 40 years since perhaps the greatest upset in the history of sports, dubbed the Miracle on Ice, when the U.S. men's hockey team upset the Soviet Union 4-3 in 1980 at the Lake Placid Olympics. The Americans went on to win the gold medal. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
The show will begin in 1 minute. The Brian Kilmeade Show will begin in 30 seconds. Enjoy. News Radio Studios in New York City. Fresh off the set of Fox and Friends, it's America's receptive voice, Brian Kilmeade.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Brian Kilmeade Show, live from the world headquarters of Fox News in New York City, where Mayor Bloomberg has not denied being mayor, but he's apologized for everything else. Karl Rove will be here this hour. Stuart Varney and I will have a simulcast. We'll share our audience with his TV audience and vice versa. You could always watch us on Fox Nation. And keep in mind, too, if you are traveling, have to leave your local affiliate, go to radio.com. We're streaming all the time. And we have a big hour because we had a big debate last night. There was a big rally. Right now, Roger Stone, we understand the sentencing is underway. We know about the controversy mixed in with that. So while we have Chris Wallace just about out of the shower, let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
To have public statements and tweets made about the department, about people in the department, and about judges before whom we have cases make it impossible for me to do my job.
Well, and that was sent to ABC, and the word is that a fed-up Bill Barr is threatening to walk out as Attorney General since denied. But think it through, Mr. President. It's a big mistake to test and taunt your incredible Attorney General, Bill Barr. He's nothing if not effective. He is really eyeing the door. Is that in fact true? If so, you'll be losing your MVP as the playoffs are about to start.
Number two.
We added another 225,000 new jobs last month alone. America is thriving like never before. And ladies and gentlemen of Arizona, the best is yet to come.
Yeah, Donald Trump takes to the stump. He's on a roll, double winner with the rising approval ratings, soaring markets, a successful rally, and opponents who seem to have forgotten how much they hate him.
Number one.
A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians.
We're not going to throw out capitalism. We tried that. It was called communism, and it just didn't work.
Let's talk about democratic socialism, not communism, Mr. Bloomberg. That's a cheap shot.
Bernie Sanders and Mike Bloomberg, the two most polarizing figures on this stage.
Well, there you go. Finally, legitimate, passionate debate for the Dems as all six get personal. The lead attacker, Elizabeth Warren, and everyone's primary target was the billionaire rookie, Mike Bloomberg. Plus, frontrunner Bernie Sanders virtually ignored. Plus, they attacked Bernie Sanders, I should say. But they virtually ignored Mr. Yesterday, Joe Biden. Now this.
Now it's time to clear the airwaves for the Emmy-nominated host.
But I do think we could drop the Emmy-nominated part because I didn't win it.
That's true. Now it's time to clear the airwaves for the Emmy-nominated host of Fox News Sunday.
Mr. Sunday, the receptive voice, the king.
Author of the new book, Countdown
1945. It will drop on June 9th.
The Brian Kilmeade Show celebrity correspondent.
And I'm walking past the spa, and there he is, Paul McCartney. Actually, I have a LeBron James story to tell you.
The connoisseur of compliments.
You have the cutest smile I've ever seen.
How would you describe the color of your eyes? Because they're really quite lovely.
Chris, you're such an asset to the show, and I'm glad to see it's really helping your career.
Did I mention Countdown 1945?
A couple of times.
Now available pre-orders at Amazon.
Got it.
I see this as a feature-length movie. I am serious. This is a great story.
This is going to be great, and I look forward to talking to you for the next 5 months about it.
Every week we are going to talk about Countdown. You know, this is going to be a countdown to the countdown.
I like it.
Tell your people to put that on the promo next week.
The official Brian Kilmeade Show countdown to the countdown continues now.
Wow, there's a whole dialogue going on between you and Frank Bruno and Eric that I'm just not even involved in.
Well, I know. You know, really, I think the show would be better if you just ran a long intro and you came on and I said thank you so much and we ended it there.
Right.
We're going downhill. None of this is going to be as good as that was.
I love the fact that we took it, taking out the nominated, but we left everything else in there. That's
no,
fantastic.
You didn't take out the nominating. You just put it. You left it in and then you mocked me.
All right. Okay, let's move to, on a lighthearted note, let's talk about Elizabeth Warren welcoming Mike Bloomberg to the fray.
Oh, my, that was like, oh, she brought out the welcome wagon, didn't
yeah,
she?
This is it.
The 2x4. That was, you know, I got to admit, that was pretty great TV.
It was great. The whole night was great. But listen to what exactly she said.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg. Democrats are not going to win if we have a nominee who has a history of hiding his tax returns, of harassing women, and of supporting racist policies like redlining and stop and frisk.
And his jaw was right on the ground. Did Bloomberg survive this?
Yes, he survived it, but he got really roughed up. He's lucky that he's not on the ballot in Nevada this week. He's not on the ballot in South Carolina next week. So, you know, he can drop another $100 million in ads and do something to rehabilitate his image. And also, there's another debate in South Carolina next week that I assume he'll be part of. There were a couple of things, one that didn't surprise me, one that did. The one that surprised me was that, or rather that didn't surprise me, is the fact that he didn't do very well and that, you know, as compared to these other people who were razor sharp, he seemed rusty and somewhat out of his element. Look, they have been debating since June. They have been on the campaign trail doing tough interviews, town halls, getting asked insulting questions for a year now, and he comes in the middle of the season, and, you know, he's not going to be as good as Tom Brady is in mid-season form. The thing that surprised me was that none of these things that he was attacked on were surprises.
Yes.
You know, you knew he was going to get hit on stop and frisk. You knew he was going to get hit on his record with women. And you would think with the best campaign team that money could buy, even if he didn't say it so well, that he would at least have some comeback. He'd at least have some line. And he really seemed a couple of times at a total loss. Like, for instance, when Elizabeth Warren hit him on the non-disclosure agreements with women that Bloomberg, the Bloomberg company had made, he didn't have an answer for that. And I'm surprised at that.
It's ridiculous. I mean, look, it's not an easy subject. But here in fact, is that exchange.
So, Mr. Mayor, are you willing to release all of those women from those non-disclosure agreements so we can hear their side of the story?
We have a very few non-disclosure agreements.
How many is
there? Let me finish.
How many is there?
None of them accused me of doing anything other than maybe they didn't like the joke I told. And let me just there's agreements between two parties that wanted to keep it quiet, and that's up to them. They signed those agreements, and we'll live with it.
Not a good answer.
No. And again, this wasn't a surprise. You knew he was going to get asked about this, and with all of these high-paid consultants and advisors and media people and poll testing, you would think I agree with you. It's a tough question, and there's no good answer, but there was a better answer than that.
Yeah, this is what I love that Bloomberg did. He addressed the elephant in the Vermont room, and that is the leader, who's a socialist, who has never passed a piece of legislation or backed up any of his proclamations with programs. Cut three.
I don't think there's any chance of the senator beating President Trump. You don't start out by saying, I've got 160 million people. I'm going to take away the insurance plan that they love. That's just not a ways that you go and start building the coalition that the Sanders camp thinks that they can do. I don't think there's any chance whatsoever.
And he goes on to basically call him a communist and socialist as exchange bars. But nobody was willing to do that. Remember, Amy Klobuchar put up her hand halfway. Is anyone uncomfortable with Bernie Sanders, a socialist, leading your party? Only one of them put up their hands. Bloomberg made it okay.
I think that Bernie Sanders had a very good night. And part of that was that because all of the fire was focused on Bloomberg, very little, relatively, was focused on the front runner and the really increasing front runner, widening his lead, Bernie Sanders. And look, you can accuse him of being, it's a little bit like Trump in this respect. There are certain things that people say about President Trump, but they've been saying about him for years now, and at a certain point they lose their sting, they lose their effectiveness. And the thing that was so damaging to Bloomberg is it was the first time you'd heard him talk about the non-disclosure agreements. How many times has Bernie Sanders been called a socialist or a communist or been questioned on the fact that his health care plan would throw half of America, 150 million Americans, off their private health insurance? So it just doesn't have the resonance that it did with Bloomberg. And I would say the big winner last night was Bernie Sanders.
I think even bigger was Donald Trump, and here's why. Tom Steyer even said it. Cut 36.
Well, I saw the person who won the debate last night, whose name is Donald Trump, because I saw so much bickering between Democratic candidates tearing each other down and going after each other and forgetting the fact that what really counts is beating Donald Trump in November of 2020.
And Trump noticed, too. Cut 37.
And now they have a new member of the crew, Mini Mike. No boxes. We call him No Boxes. And I hear he's getting pounded tonight. You know he's in a debate. I hear they're pounding him. He spent $500 million so far, and I think he has 15 points. It just came out. Hey, fake news, how many points does he have right now? 15? They won't tell you the truth.
So,
oh, my, he's entertaining. He is. I mean, you can be horrified, you can love it, but it is, you know, I defy you not to listen to that and laugh. And the funny thing is, you know, when he came out on the stage and I saw him standing next to Warren, I'm looking around, like, I'm looking on the screen to see, is he on a box or not? How much shorter is he than Warren? You know, he's a genius in his ability to put something in your mind, to capture the narrative, and, you know, you're thinking about it. He's got you thinking about it. He's quite remarkable in that respect.
So, Chris, where do you fall as we switch gears on the Bill Barr, President Trump saga? I believe that Barr, outside Mike Pence, has been the president's MVP since he came on board. What he's able to do with his experience and toughness and great legal mind is really, at a very critical time for the president, is unquantifiable. But yet they seem to be at loggerheads now, with the Washington Post 2 days ago saying Barr is thinking about leaving. Now, I talked to an Obama official today on Fox and Friends, and that person let me know he thinks the whole thing is scripted. What are you people telling you that it's, that the look is supposed to be, let's pretend like we're fighting as if I'm standing up for the Justice Department, but I really have your back, Mr. President?
Well, I think they were trying to send the message, I have your back, or I'm on your side, but don't make my life impossible and embarrass me and undercut me by sending out these tweets. He's basically sent two shots across the bow of President Trump. First, with the ABC interview, which was pretty remarkable, saying, you know, I'm not going to be bullied. I can't do my job. And then when the president continued to tweet, then the leak to the papers, I guess it was Tuesday, saying, you know, he has considered resigning. And the president continues. At a certain point, the real question is for Bill Barr. You know, you can huff and puff and threaten, I can't continue this way. Well, at a certain point, are you going to continue this way or not? If the president doesn't change, and I don't think this president is going to change. So I think there's going to be increasing pressure on Bill Barr to, you know, you've huffed and puffed here. Are you going to blow the house down?
And here's what Trump said.
That's my three little pigs analogy for the day, which I'm sure that you'll mock on the show and the lead-in next week.
I can't see it. Not on this show.
No, really?
Yeah. Well, I want you to hear what the president...
Really, the huff and puff and blow your house down?
I want you to hear what the president said about Bill Barr.
It'll be on. I know it.
He said that your comments on Twitter are making it impossible to do his job. Are you making his job impossible?
Yeah, I do make his job harder. I do agree with that. I think that's true. He's a very straight shooter. We have a great attorney general, and he's working very hard. And he's working against a lot of people that don't want to see good things happen, in my opinion. That's my opinion, not his opinion. That's my opinion. You'll have to ask what his opinion is.
So if he says that and there's no tension, you know, President Trump would say it, remember with Bolton and everybody else and Kelly. Do you think this whole thing is scripted to make it seem like he's standing up for the Justice Department?
Well, again, the question is, what is Barr going to do? He has set a marker out there. I mean, it may have been scripted, but both people have to play from the same script. And if the president keeps ad-libbing and tweeting and attacking, I mean, let's say, and we don't know as we sit here right now, that Roger Stone gets a serious sentence. Do you think the president's going to suffer in silence about that? No, I think he'll call out the judge and attack the verdict and say it's a miscarriage of justice. What's Barr's reaction to that going to be? And, you know, it goes on. At a certain point, if you're going to say, and I have done this, I've gone in to see our boss, and I said that I was going to quit, and so were you, unless I got something. And so far, they've let me get away with it. At a certain point, they're going to say, no, Chris, we want you, but Brian can go.
Right. And you always say that every time they try to let me go, you say, well, then I leave too, and I'm able to stay.
No, I never said that. I never said that. No. And if anybody's listening on the second floor, and I hope you've got something better to do than listen to us, the second floor, of course, being where all of our executives live, if you want to fire Brian, I would be sad. I like him. I enjoy our talk. But
You're not making a stand?
My life goes on.
Really?
Yes.
That's stunning to me. I am floored.
So if, you are?
Yeah, so if
let me ask you a question.
If I have a problem with
Steve
management.
Ducey, if they were going to fire Steve Ducey, you're saying you would quit too in solidarity?
Well, let's just talk about me and you. Because right now, I need somebody on the
network.
Thank
you, Mayor Bloomberg.
Yeah, because I need somebody in the network who has my back. My feeling is I walk out here with such an attitude. I walk around with a chip on my shoulder.
You do.
I'm very critical of people.
Because
know that you have my back. But you tell me you don't have my back?
Okay, I have your back.
All right, good.
Does that make you feel better?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
I don't really
see, now,
you,
this is the problem with these lead-ins, because now I'm sitting here thinking, what are they going to use, twist, take out of context, and make fun of me for this next week?
Right, because your psyche and your confidence is so fragile.
Well, I have to say, the Brian Kilmeade intros have kind of taken me down a notch.
Well, listen, I'm up against a hard break.
I'm playing scared.
You know, that's like... we should have a bet, and that bet will be win or lose. If I win, you open up Fox News Sunday with our open of you.
What's the bet?
I got to think of it.
You got to think of it.
Chris Wallace.
I'm not going to do that.
That
would be like me threatening to quit if they fired you. I'm not doing that.
Back in a moment.
Open phones right now.
I am ripe to be taken advantage of.
Take advantage.
866-408-7669.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Credit products are issued by WebBank, member FDIC. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Offer valid for loan products 90 days after today. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
How do I feel? Awesome.
Like a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
Hundreds of thousands of people are discovering the relief of a fixed-rate debt consolidation loan through Avant.
I paid off all my credit cards, and now I just have one easy monthly payment with Avant. And I don't have to worry about the rates going up.
Avant offers you access to unsecured debt consolidation loans from $2,000 to $35,000.
When I saw Avant was accredited by the Better Business Bureau, I knew that was the company for me.
Do you know how good it feels to only worry about one monthly payment?
Experience the relief of a debt consolidation loan through Avant. Plus, get a free $50 Amazon gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your loan options and get this free offer, go to Avant.com and enter code 7575 when applying. Avant.com, code 7575. That's Avant.com, code 7575.
Hello, I'm Dr. Travis Stork. I recommend that patients taking statin drugs to lower their cholesterol consider taking Qnall CoQ10 supplements with their prescribed regimen. Statin drugs may lower CoQ10 levels, which is an important nutrient for heart health. Qnall CoQ10 has the number one cardiologist-recommended form of CoQ10. Qnall is the brand I recommend considering with your statin medication.
Consult with your doctor. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, have you heard that ransomware attacks have increased by 500% this year?
Yeah, cybercriminals are targeting all types of businesses, encrypting their data and holding it hostage unless they pay up.
What if we're their next victim?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda to detect, prevent, and recover from ransomware and other advanced threats.
So we're secured?
Absolutely. We'll pay no ransom and keep this business up and running.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
This is Fox on Justice. There are American citizens returning from overseas who are being detained, their movements restricted, part of the U.S. response to the coronavirus. Is this legal? Yes, it is. In 1824, the Supreme Court ruled in Gibbons v. Ogden, a shipping dispute that gave Robert Fulton, inventor of the steamboat, a monopoly to operate on the Hudson River in New York. As part of that ruling, Chief Justice John Marshall listed some of the legal powers that state governments have. One of them, the power to enforce a quarantine to protect public health. That legal principle has been upheld a few times over the next couple of centuries, most famously during the influenza epidemic of 1918. Most of the legal authority to enforce a quarantine rests with state and local governments. The federal power controls the borders, people arriving on planes and ships. But if the coronavirus outbreak continues to spread, it's possible we'll see new and expanded uses of quarantine rules. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile on Ty Burrell. The actor joins Fox's Animation Domination lineup as one of the voice stars of the new series, Duncanville.
Duncanville is about a 15-year-old boy that is willing to do anything to achieve his dreams except try, basically. He is not willing to put forth any effort. He just wants to be famous and rich and be on his phone, essentially. Duncan and his mom are both played by Amy Poehler. I play his dad.
He says the cast and the schedule are part of what led him to this animated world following Modern Family.
I've been thinking long and hard about what the next thing would be, and I want it to still have all of those criteria, and animated really does. You know, it still allows me to be home for dinner, and it's really funny. It's Mike and Julie Scully created the show with Amy. They're all lovely people. It checked all the same boxes.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1988. Jimmy Swaggart.
To my Lord and my Savior, I have sinned against you, my Lord.
I did not commit any crime.
Read my lips.
Poor George. He can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
There was a terrible explosion, and the whole sky lit up, and it was virtually raining fire.
We must never surrender! America will get better! Keep hope alive! Keep hope alive!
News as it happened then, news as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
want. Truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Yeah, welcome back. One little along with Chris. I will be taking some of your calls a little bit later. Carl Rove is just around the bend. Then we'll do a simulcast. I'll get that done with then. I've opened up the phones. I see every line is jammed. Thank you for that. Meanwhile, just a quick reminder. On the 25th of this month, February, at 1 o'clock, I'll be doing a live signing. Sam Houston, the Alamo Avengers. I'll have a chance to interact with you. You sign a book. You come online. It's really cool. I haven't done it in quite some time, and we've been dying to do it. We finally got everything lined up. So on the 25th, mark your calendar, and then hope to see everybody there, kind of, virtually. And then we come back. I'll talk to Karl Rove about what Bloomberg did to himself yesterday. Nothing good.
Justice.
A turning point in man's search for freedom.
And free a continent.
Tear down this wall.
But perhaps our greatest achievement is thanks to an athlete or an astronaut. It's at the very core of our country. Our greatest achievement is in your hands. Democracy 2020. Fox News. America is watching.
Bill Hemmer reports weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Moving to the town of Chaldea.
These are complex times. They need to be understood in more than just a soundbite.
We're in central Hanoi, just a few blocks.
When people's lives are affected, it's important to be fast, but it's most important to be right.
Boston is a city in shock.
Information has never moved faster than it does today. It is our job to cut through it.
Bill Hemmer reports weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, only on the Fox News Channel. Democracy 2020 coverage continues this election season on the Fox News Podcast Network.
We have the best economy we've ever had. With your help on November 3rd, we are going to defeat the radical socialist Democrats.
Subscribe and download now from Washington. The latest news from the nation's capital.
This victory here is the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
Dana Perino and Chris Steigerwald with I'll Tell You What has you covered. Who's leading, who's trailing, who's right, and who's wrong.
Thanks to you, a campaign that some said shouldn't be here at all has shown that we are here to stay.
Hit the trails with Brett Baer as the candidates take it to the streets. It's the campaign with Brett Baer.
I offer a record of getting things done.
And each morning, the Fox News Rundown takes you beyond the headlines. On Democracy 2020. Subscribe, download, listen, stay informed at FoxNewsPodcasts.com. Democracy 2020 coverage continues this election season on the Fox News Podcast Network.
We have the best economy we've ever had. With your help on November 3rd, we are going to defeat the radical socialist Democrats.
Subscribe and download now from Washington. The latest news from the nation's capital.
This victory here is the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
Dana Perino and Chris Steigerwald with I'll Tell You What has you covered. Who's leading, who's trailing, who's right, and who's wrong.
Thanks to you, a campaign that some said shouldn't be here at all has shown that we are here to stay.
Hit the trails with Brett Baer as the candidates take it to the streets. It's the campaign with Brett Baer.
I offer a record of getting things done.
And each morning, the Fox News Rundown takes you beyond the headlines. On Democracy 2020. Subscribe, download, listen, stay informed at FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Alan Lomax, who died in 2002, was an American folklorist and musicologist. Lomax was involved in the archive of folk songs at the Library of Congress and a pioneering oral historian who recorded the early story of American folk artists.
Since I was 17, that was pretty close to 18 straight years. I'd been in every back alley in every little town, and I got so I wasn't feeling fresh about America. It was coming out of my ears, and I wasn't enjoying it anymore. So it seemed to me that the big problem at that time was to make the world feel like a world. of various people speaking various languages, all about the same big human problem.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A 98-year-old Girl Scout from Pennsylvania who continues her mission to sell Girl Scout cookies makes today's Dean's List. Ronnie Backenstow started selling cookies when she was 10 years old, and she's still on the job, even part of a troop all these years later. Her fellow scouts joined her for a cookie sale at Phoebe Burke's, a retirement community in Wernersville. Troop leader Barbara Allen Pirelli says Ronnie's energy is nonstop, and her young fellow scouts say she makes them laugh. Ronnie says the Girl Scouts have taught her so much. She says it's part of living. That's what Girl Scouting is. It teaches you how to live. Ronnie says when she first started selling cookies in the 1930s, there were only three different kinds, and they only cost 15 cents. Her favorite Girl Scout cookie? Peanut butter. Mine too, Ronnie, and the Thin Mints. Keep on selling, my friend. I'll take two boxes, by the way. You're awesome, and you made the Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Mouth to your ears. It's Brian Kilmeade.
And it is important that those workers are able to share the benefits. Also, when we have so many people who go to work every day and they feel not good about their jobs, they feel like cogs in a machine. I want workers to be able to sit on corporate boards as well so they can have some say over what happens to their lives.
I can't think of a ways that would make it easier for Donald Trump to get reelected than listening to this conversation. It's ridiculous. We're not going to throw out capitalism. We tried that. Other countries tried that. It was called communism, and it just didn't work.
There you go. Mike Bloomberg, one of his stronger moments, took on socialism, called it communism. But that's the things that people have been saying, not to Bernie Sanders' face on that stage. This is the first time people address that the front runner is a socialist without any accomplishments. Karl Rove has been saying this for a while. He's former deputy chief of staff, President George W. Bush, the author of Triumph of William McKinley, Wall Street Journal columnist and Fox News contributor. Karl, how did Bloomberg do last night?
Well, he was pummeled, and I don't think he did that well. I mean, that was you had one of his better moments.
Yep.
And think about it. He was on the offense in that moment. But most of the time he was being pummeled. And why he didn't have better lines to pivot back to his issues is beyond me. I mean, the problem is sometimes he answered the challenge or the question from his critic most of the night, Elizabeth Warren. But I thought he was one of the losers of the evening, and I thought Warren, as a result of her aggressive attacking and clever lines, was one of the winners of the evening.
Well, at least she was aggressive and didn't go out there afraid to lose. Mike Bloomberg got out there unable to defend his life. I mean, he couldn't defend his business. He couldn't defend some of his statements that were in people's opinion. I mean, we thought usually when people get into it from other fields, like Fred Thompson or other, they don't know depth of issues. But you have Michael Bloomberg, who knows the issues but can't defend himself. How could he do that with all the money and talent around him?
Well, look, being in a debate, all of his competitors on the stage had the advantage of being in, what was it, seven previous debates. The last debate Mike Bloomberg had as a political candidate was 10 years ago, running for re-election as mayor of New York as the incumbent, where the attacks were on his record. So he could say, you know what I've done. Here's what I've done. And he was intimately familiar with the issues. Last night, a lot of it was about him and his personal background and his personal record and things like, you know, I can't do my taxes on TurboTax sounded sort of tone deaf. And, you know, These women who signed the non-disclosure agreements did so consensually. I mean, bad choice of words, Mayor Mike. But it was surprising. And not only that, but look, if you know that you're going to get hit on a lot of the personal stuff, you got to have some way that your candidate knows that they can pivot out of that and put the race back where it ought to be. He did that last night with that line about Bernie. You know, we've tried that before. We're ending capitalism. We've seen that around the world. And yet he had no exit line and no pivot line for the personal ones. Like, you know, look, Elizabeth, you can talk to me all night long about things that you think are bad in my record. And I could do the same about you with your misrepresentations and your misleading statements. But the real question here is not how can we tear down each other personally, but what can we do as a party to lay out an optimistic vision of how we get things done that contrasts with Donald Trump. And he never had that kind of line.
He didn't. And I don't know if he can learn it, but I almost think it's too late. I mean, for example, they didn't even hit him over the head with the farming comment.
They didn't hit him over the head with a farming comment because they're not as worried or as aghast as you and I are about that. I mean, how tone deaf was that? I mean, that agriculture 3,000 years ago consisted of digging a little hole, putting a seed in it, and letting the rain come. But that's not modern agriculture. Why do you think we have major programs at major universities all across the country, especially in the Midwest and the South and the Central South, that teach people the intricacies of modern production agriculture? These people who farm today or ranch today are some of the most skilled and trained people in our country, because this is not something where you just put the seed in the ground. They got to manage world markets. They got to understand what the demand for their product might be, not just next year, but the year after. They have to understand economics. They have to understand chemistry. They have to understand plant science. They have to understand climate. They have to understand topography. They have to understand engineering and mechanics. I mean, modern farmers are among the most complicated industry and the most skilled people in America, and he was dismissing them. And, you know, the reason it didn't come up last night is because everybody on that stage, with maybe the exception of Amy Klobuchar, has the same dim view of what it is to be a farmer.
Maybe. I also, you know, the moderators a little bit, but if I was going against Bloomberg, it would be the first thing I went to. The other thing is they got to be accountants. They got to be business planners like nobody else, because they got to invest. They have to have fail-safe plans. They got to buy insurance. That's just off the top of my head. And obviously, I don't have an agricultural background. But a couple of things he's got to overcome. You know what he talked about? He talked about minorities not knowing how to act in the workplace. He's on the record saying Obamacare is not a good plan and is eventually going to go bankrupt. That's not really too advantageous if you're in a Democratic debate. We know, too, that he also has no problem saying people at the end of their life aren't going to get health care because it's just going to be too costly. You know, at this point, he's got so much on the record besides just farming. And these are sound bites to roll out, let alone his praise of Donald Trump in 2016 after his devastating DNC speech on Trump, saying he loves him. So, voting for a guy that you liked named George W. Bush.
Well, twice he voted for him, and first, remember, was elected as mayor of New York as a Republican. Now, look, I have great respect for the mayor. He was a good mayor. I worked with him in the 2004 convention, and everything he said he would do, he did, on time and under budget. But it is hard to believe that the Democratic Party is going to nominate a billionaire, a former Republican, and somebody who is a technocrat. All of these comments demonstrate a mindset of, you know, a technocrat who is viewing people not as human beings, can't empathize with them, can't relate to them, but views them as sort of technocratic problems to be solved. And that's going to be hard to do in the modern era. We've never really had – I mean, the last technocrat president we had was probably Herbert Hoover, who was a mining engineer and thought like an engineer. Mike Bloomberg thinks like the commander of a very big enterprise, moving pieces around the board, and those pieces consist of large clumps of people. That's hard to sell as a president.
Well, yeah, the other thing is he came off arrogant and smug, and that's probably his biggest problem. You know what? He doesn't want to release his taxes, but you know what's going to be in his taxes? The guy gives out a ton of money, and to a lot of great causes. He does a lot of did a lot of things, and I've only met him once. So I'm not going to bat for him, but I heard that he would walk around the city and personally bail out different buildings and people who are having tough times, and under the auspices that they never tell anybody. I mean, he's got a good heart, and he's also to give himself credit for achieving things without any family connections. It's not his fault that he became a billionaire.
This is the big advantage and disadvantage of being wealthy. We saw it with Mitt Romney. Romney was reluctant to talk about what he did with his wealth. And I'm sure Bloomberg, who, while he's willing to talk to acknowledge the big policy-oriented things that help Democrats, I've done this on guns, I've done this on climate. These acts of personal generosity that speak to the character of the individual are hard for people like Bloomberg and Romney. You may remember, this is one of my favorite examples about Romney. There was a big debate in Jacksonville, Florida, and Newt Gingrich is going after him about being wealthy. And uncharacteristically, Romney lost his cool and said, what I got, I wasn't given what I got. I worked for it, and I'm not going to apologize for it. And the crowd, which is mostly a Herman Cain crowd, stood up and cheered him. But what he didn't say was, he was given something. When his father, a wealthy car executive, died, he left each of his children a chunk of money. And do you know what Mitt Romney did with his inheritance? He gave it all away to Brigham Young University to create the George S. Romney School of Public Service. And what a wonderful gesture. And he could have said, you know why I did it? Because my dad gave me the conviction that I could make it back in the future by hard work and endeavor. And so I had every confidence. I could have made use of it. We had young kids. I had to worry about sending them to college and about making certain they were well taken care of in their childhood if something happened to me. But I did this. Bloomberg could have done the same, too, last night. He could have said, you attacked me so you know about what I've done to help. Nobody's done more to advance. No Democrat has done more to advance the cause of climate and gun control than me. But let me tell you, I'm uncomfortable talking about it, but let me tell you what I do. I've given away more than half my money. Have given it away. And here are some of the places that you don't know that I've given it. You're absolutely right. It could have humanized him.
Absolutely. Carl Rove, thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Stuart Varney. Stuart Varney is going to join you, and I join him.
Expanding your knowledge base. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hello, I'm Dr. Travis Stork. I want to tell you about one of my favorite supplements that I take every day, Kunal Turmeric. Kunal Turmeric may help with healthy joints and inflammation support. Unlike many regular turmeric supplements, Kunal's soluble formula offers superior absorption, which is very important to get more of the full benefits of turmeric. Kunal Turmeric is the brand I trust.
Consult with your doctor. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
catch the latest from Fox News podcasts. The Campaign with Brett Baer, with updates from reporters on the trail and in-studio experts. Brett keeps you informed on the 2020 race. Go to foxnewspodcast.com and download The Campaign with Brett Baer now. Sharp, experienced, trusted. Shannon Bream is America's last word on politics, with live insight every night, so you can start the next day smart. Only on Fox News at Night, weeknights at 11 p.m. Eastern. Fox News Channel. America is watching.
We've toiled and triumphed.
We choose to go to the moon.
And pushed mankind to new worlds. We fought for justice.
A turning point in man's search for freedom.
And freed a continent.
Tear down this wall.
But perhaps our greatest achievement is a thanks to an athlete or an astronaut. It's at the very core of our country. Our greatest achievement is in your hands. Democracy 2020. Fox News. America is watching.
Laura Logan is back. The award-winning journalist returns with an unflinching look at the border crisis.
What I care about is one thing, the truth.
And she's taking on the mainstream media, tackling the issues that matter to America, one story at a time.
We see this, but we don't ever see where they go.
We don't know what they've been through just to get here. You can see it on their faces.
I know. This is me at my core.
These guys are runners. They're not going to give themselves up.
It's all happening pretty fast. But I guess this is what you're used to.
You okay?
Yes.
They portray us as villains. That's not the case. And we all have families. We're here to protect our borders, protect our country.
Having the freedom to take on tough subjects and tell it like it is, that's what we have at Fox Nation. That's what sets us apart.
No bias. No nonsense. Laura Logan has no agenda. The must-see docuseries is available now, only on Fox Nation. Start your free trial at foxnation.com.
Now, the Brian Kilmeade Show joins Fox Business's Barney & Company with Stuart Barney, live on your radio and on Fox Business. Here's Brian Kilmeade.
So I'm going to be joining outnumbered at the top of the hour on Fox News Channel. A matter of moments, they're going to be on Barney & Company, the number one show on all business television, not only at FBN, but number one in all. Right? So whoever's got a business show, whether it's Bloomberg, CNBC, or Fox News, especially when you look at the HUT levels, HUT, homes with homes using TVs, he's through the roof because he's likable and diverse. So is his show diverse. He's also talking right now about what's happening with the market because the Fed came out and said they don't plan on moving rates until, you know, for the foreseeable future. That let a lot of people think, okay, we can go and do this. But some people are saying, look out for the coronavirus, and there might be a correction coming down, but no one should panic with their 401k. But in a matter of moments, I'm going to get a chance to do something that is also in the news, and that's talk a little sports. So let's listen
in. Good morning. When we are joined now live on the radio with Brian Kilmeade. He is the host of the Brian Kilmeade Show. Now, Brian, forgive me, but I want to roll some tape first. I want to show our viewers what the new San Francisco sheriff had to say about illegals. Roll tape, please.
Our department is not involved in immigration enforcement. We feel that's a federal matter, and our realm of interest is public safety. And you can't really have a safe community if community members are afraid to come to us to report crimes.
All right, Brian, that's exactly the same as Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, just the other day. We're not going to help deport illegals. What do you say to this?
Oh, it's an absolute outrage. Sanctuary City, sanctuary states, the one we're in right now, they believe the same exact thing. And I can't believe law enforcement would say things that they can't fundamentally believe because it's politically advantageous to do it. I mean, I give the New York City commissioner finally had got so fed up with the politics around Mayor de Blasio, he finally left. And I'm just wondering how many more people have to be affected by illegal immigration. When people get to understand the magnet, which is sanctuary cities, before they get fed up and say this isn't about Democrat or Republican. You know, the president's got to work the courts.
I think the tide is turning. The tide of public opinion is turning against sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. You think?
I hope so. And I think that when Gavin Newsom of California gave, as governor, gave his State of the State address and said the homelessness issue is rampant and the housing issue is rampant and their tax issue is something that has to be addressed, it's the beginning of a reality check. But it's only going to take constituents in these Democratic-run states to say enough before things happen. They got to answer the ballot box. And Republicans in states like this one have to be a legitimate alternative. They have to organize on issues like this and give people an alternative.
You're right. Now I want to talk to about sports. And the I see a lot of baseball players are speaking out against the Houston Astros for that cheating scandal. First of all, Brian, listen to what Aaron Judge had to say, the Yankees guy. Roll it.
It didn't only affect us as the Yankees. You know, it affected, like I said earlier, the fans of the game, you know, and even other guys, the guys that lost their jobs because of it, guys that, you know, went into Houston and got beat up a little bit and never made it back to the big leagues. It's just sick to my stomach.
Well, strong stuff. At the end of the day, do you think the baseball commissioner will ever punish players?
No, he made a deal. And it's future players that'll get punished. He went in and said, I got to get to the bottom of this. The union was not playing ball. So he went up to those Astros and says, this is the evidence I have. If you come clean with me, I'll give you immunity. And he did. He can't go back on his word. This is so much bigger than he ever thought because the Astros are making it worse. They are not showing contrition. They had their owner, Jim Crane, who I know and like. He came out and said it didn't really affect the game. He knows better. He was an outstanding college pitcher himself. So now you have others pushing back on Dodger players, but when Aaron Judge, as respected as anyone in sports, comes out and says that is a phony championship, and then you had Stanton today of the Yankees come out and said not only did they cheat in 2017, he thinks they were doing it through 2019. He said the only time they even expressed contrition is because they got caught. Now, keep your eye on the Red Sox situation because their bench coach became their manager and they went ahead and won a world championship. There is going to be a focus on that. We do not know the verdict. Were the Red Sox stealing signals too? And I was mistaken. Well, the fact that baseball players weren't coming out when this scandal first broke, I thought, well, wait a second. They all do it. One just got caught. The fact is, the fact that they are speaking out right now shows that they don't all do it. They don't use electronics. I do believe they use buzzers, and I do believe they are a talented team who drafted well, who didn't have enough confidence in their ability to win a world championship, so they cheated. The ringleader reportedly was 39-year-old at the time, Carlos Beltran, who has since lost his job at Met manager on the conversion. The Mets said if they came up with a plan like this, they would have walked away from it. So would the Yankees. We will see how this goes. It's so much bigger than I thought because it involves players, not fans.
Okay, look, when the Astros take the field this coming season, I think there's going to be hell to play. Hell to pay. What say you?
Absolutely. Their fans got to be embarrassed. The people of Houston deserve so much more. They're dedicated fans who love their sports, and they looked down at the Astros and said, you're embarrassing our city. Not by the way you played, but by what you did while you played. I mean, there are some quotes from players saying, if I knew the pitches that was coming, I would have hit 80 home runs. That's how cheating is. So this isn't something within the game that's handled. I don't know how they don't get booed and vilified everywhere, including at home. And I think they're going to start throwing at these players. That's the way baseball rules their roost. They start backing them off the plate and hitting them with pitches. I'm not condoning it, but that's how they handle it. Because Judge is absolutely right. He was robbed of an MVP. The Yankees lost every game in Houston and won every game at home. They went into Houston up 3-2 and lost the 7-game series 2 games in a row. Don't tell me it didn't help.
Well, I fired you up. I'm afraid we got to go. But that was good stuff. I didn't realize how serious that cheating scandal really was.
Bigger than you can imagine.
I didn't know it. Brian, thanks very much indeed.
All right. All right, let's try to squeeze in. Do we have time to get a call? What do you think? Chuck, listening on WHIO. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Good. You want to get into the Trump bar situation. Are you worried about it?
A little. I mean, as far as bar is concerned, I would really hate to see the president losing, and I think that that would be a mistake on Trump's part. But I do not believe that this problem, this conversation about Roger Stone has anything to do with the real conversation. I think what it is a shot across the bow of the Justice Department to try to get the Justice Department to put out the Horowitz report before it gets too late, close to the election.
Not the Horowitz report, the Durham report. Horowitz we got, and it was horrifying for many people in the previous administration, but not enough to force embarrassment or get Andy McCabe in trouble, but he could be looking at trouble down the line. Barr is invaluable to the president. I hope he realizes that.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Joe DiMaggio was named the greatest living player in a 1969 poll of sports writers. He took the great American pastime of baseball to new heights during his career and defined the term sports hero in the 40s and 50s. Jolton Joe was known for the power of his batting. After World War II, he became a national hero, and even people who didn't like the New York Yankees liked Joe. He announced his retirement in 1952.
I said last spring, I thought this would be my last year. I wish I could have had a better year, but even if I had hit 350, this would have been my last year for me anyway. You all know I've had my share of injuries and setbacks during my career. In recent years, these have been too frequent to laugh for. When baseball is no longer fun, it's no longer a game. And so, I've played my last game of ball.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.